call the regular meeting of the Blue Valley County Board of Supervisors to order. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by the moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Oh, now we'll have adopt the agenda for the meeting. Are there any recommended changes or other updates?
I move that we adopt the agenda as presented.
Motion made by Ms. Booker and seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Mr. Nichols?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, just a couple quick things to report on. The Veterans Day ceremony down in Dixie, Ms. Eager and Ms. Booker was there, and I think Sheriff Hess was there. And you said Mrs. Morris is the one that does the flag down there all the time?
Yes, I understood that she puts it up and takes it down, or whether she physically does it, but it looks like she knew what to hook up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, and I didn't realize she's doing that for years.
That's a great donation.
It's wonderful.
That's a nice thing to see citizens participate with those.
Yeah, and they have a new pole and a new pole and flag.
Right here on the right.
Down, it's a beautiful ceremony. Beautiful.
Mr. O'Brien, you had asked about real estate incentives for solar.
Yeah.
And so I gave each of you a copy of the county code that has language in it now. So the red on the screen and the red in that document I gave you is what tax break that's already on the county code. And I just wanted for all of you to take a look at that and see if that's different from what you want, or is there something else you want to look at on there?
Does that include passive solar energy?
I think it does. The definitions that are in there make it sound like it's really any kind of solar, anything that produces energy from solar power falls into this, to homeowners or to facilities.
Uh-huh.
Right. And so that's what's in the existing language. So I think there's Mr. Sheridan, the commissioner, pulled this up for me when I asked about it. And I think it's pretty broad and pretty comprehensive. But if you want to read through that and then come back if you have any questions, or if you want something different, or citizens that you talk to have some different language they'd like, or that would be appropriate, you all can take a look at that and then let me know.
I mean, of course, the upfront cost is usually something that is of paramount concern to people that are investing in solar.
The feds usually provide any tax incentives on that or rebates on federal taxes on solar things. And those go in and out. They don't necessarily happen all the time.
Right.
Right.
So my thinking was if the county could provide a minor, a rebate of some form or another for people that show that they've made that improvement that year, that would be a way to incentivize them, help incentivize them.
So would that be for 1 year or?
Yeah, just for
continue.
No, I think it's for the first year when they're making the investment.
But you continue to provide it every year because you provide the tax break, so that's perpetual.
But right.
You're talking about the capital investment.
Yeah, I'm talking about the capital investment. So whether it was like a $250 one-time reduction, that was something that I thought would be, and that could be just taken off of their homeowners insurance. Mm-hmm. I mean, homeowners property tax. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can check with the commissioner and find out the commissioner and treasurer to find out what it would take to implement something like that, and then what resources would be taken to do that. And I mean, there's obviously not many. It wouldn't be thousands of people coming forward with that. It may be maybe 100 in a year or something, but I'm not sure what the paperwork and things go with it. So I'll get some feedback from the treasurer and the commissioner, and then have either one of them or I give you an update on a future meeting.
Sure.
Sure.
Okay. So, the other thing, I think I told the chair about this before. We were ordering the voting district signs for each of the supervisors' houses, and so we had put those orders in. We think it's going to make it a lot easier for citizens to be able to find where you are and to sit down and have meetings with you and do consultations and submit complaints and things like that. And so we've already ordered those signs. Most of them will be here within 2 weeks, and it won't be too long when they come in, we'll get the signs and the posts delivered to each of your houses, and then Public Works will coordinate with each one of you to get them installed at your house. And the first sign's already in for the Cunningham District, so this will be coming to Mr. Weaver's house to put on out by his driveway.
Wonderful.
We hope those will work pretty well for you too. Yeah. And if the other supervisors would like one, we could probably order the same thing. Anyway, those were off the Cunningham School.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were off the old Cunningham School.
Right. What are you going to do with it?
There's a teacher that used to teach there, Miss Haslett, who wants them,
so
she's going to come pick them up for me. I bought them from the Light Academy.
Right.
It was Light Academy, I think it was.
Yeah.
I want you to know, when they started walking over there, you had me a little bit nervous.
Yeah, they weren't carrying, so they looked like Secret Service.
You're going to get the Columbia. What happened to the Columbia sign?
It's still on the side of the school.
We'll have to get you that one.
So what I want to tell you is that not only is that a little absurd, today is National Absurdity Day. You see on the screen? Honest to gosh, November 20th is National Absurdity Day, and so it's a day to have fun and do some crazy things. It just happened to be coincidental. When I was looking it up the other night, today's the day. So there's your signs, Mr. Weaver, and that's pretty absurd.
I put it in my back pocket.
Put it in your car on the way home. So
yeah, if it was tied to the comedian, top. Here's your sign.
My compact car, put it in.
Indeed. Yes. We could take the leathers apart, probably.
Yes.
So just an notice on your upcoming meetings. Remember, on December 5th, you've got a work session with the county and with the schools at your 7 o'clock time, but you've got a regular 4 o'clock meeting. So your 4 o'clock meeting, followed by dinner, followed by the prelim budget work session discussion with the schools and with county. At your December 19th meeting, you've got your first of two nonprofit presentations for their budget proposals. That'll be at your 4 o'clock, and then dinner, and then your 7 o'clock meeting. And so we'll make sure these are on your calendars. And then in January, remember, you already approved moving the January meetings instead of January 2nd, right up against the holiday. It'll be the 9th and the 23rd. Yeah. So at your 9th meeting, that'll be your organizational meeting, and you'll get the calendar set for the year, because there's a couple other dates will need to be adjusted because of holidays as well. But we'll get these work sessions for December on your calendars. But just remember, you've got work sessions for both the 5th and the 19th next month.
You put it on an iPad.
If we haven't already, we'll verify, but if we haven't, we will put them out. I think they're already out there for all the budget ones. So. But we'll send email reminders. Any questions I can answer for the board?
Any questions? Thank you very much. We will now open the first round of public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board should come to the podium and state your name and address. Please remember to keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Is there anyone wishing to speak at this time? Seeing no one, we will now close the first round of public comments. We will now move forward with public hearings. The first being P, Zions Crossroads Water Sewer System Property Acquisition. Mr. Nichols?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is really a formality to comply with the state code requirements. Because of the water and sewer systems being built along the Route 250 and 15 corridors in Zion Crossroads, there will be the need for the county to acquire easements and I think only three fee simple pieces of property. But the rest of it will be just easements, either temporary construction easements or easements to put the water or sewer lines in. Because that's happening, we have to identify all those parcels, we have to have made a valid offer, and we have to then inform the public that that the county has authority under state code to do condemnations or the eminent domain takes on those properties if we can't come to resolution. That's certainly not what the county is intending. There are about, I think there are 86 parcels, 60 owners in those 86 parcels. We've already gotten back about 35 signed approvals to accepting the easement offer that we've made. And Mr. Stevens is working with the other property owners, setting up meetings, walking through properties, and things like that. But this is really a formality, and our county attorney can talk about the legal aspect of it, if need be.
Anything you want to add, Mr. Payne?
Not unless you have questions.
Any questions from anyone? So,
I just think it's amazing with all these names, and I don't see how you ever get through all that. It's really difficult.
It's a lot of work, and Mr. Stevens is earning his keep. Yes. So.
Well, thank goodness right now we don't have anything like we did down there in Columbia where we couldn't. It took forever to find out who the big parcel belonged to.
Indeed, yes. In this case, so you can see in the package was all the names of the property owners, the parcels listed, and then the resolution that would have to be adopted report. And this has also been advertised in the paper for the last 2 weeks as required as well. So.
All righty.
And we're not talking about a lot of property.
We're not doing anything right now. We're just giving ourselves the opportunity that if that comes to it, we can.
To Mrs. Booker's point, let me show you on this sheet here. If I just blow this up so you can see it, you can see some of these partial sizes.
Yes,
these 0.18 acres, 0.0502 acres, 0.0497, very, very small, much less than even a tenth of acre in most cases.
Right.
Just enough to be able to put the pipelines through. Mm-hmm. And most of these are going in existing easements already, whether there's electric easements or the VDOT right away.
And I think that's real important to be known, because a lot of people will think Blue Banner is taking people's property.
Right.
So, they need to realize it's not that.
If we put it into perspective, I believe it was just about the same number of properties going on the Louisa County line was. This one's only about 2.5 miles long. Mm-hmm. That one's about 12 miles long, 14 miles long. The one that they just came up the east side of the county.
Right.
But it's the same number of
them. And that's why this one's more complicated, because when you get along roadways, there's more compact properties, and you have vastly more property owners oftentimes.
Yeah.
And so it's quite a bit of work. But these are very, very
small
pieces. Mm-hmm. And again, there's only three parcels that are fee simple acquisitions of properties, and we're working with those property owners.
Right.
We've been working with them for 2 years.
Right. That's one thing that the public needs to be aware of. When there's a reference to this piece of property and that piece of property,
yes,
we are not taking the parcel in fee except for a couple cases. What this is it's an easement for whether the temporary construction easements, but the permanent easement is simply to install and maintain the water line and sewer line.
Mm-hmm.
So when all that work gets done, with a few exceptions, like you can't plant trees on it, can't build buildings on it, things like that. But after that, the landowner can do whatever he wants.
Right.
Have a garden.
And that's
the thing. He definitely can have a garden on it.
Yeah.
And put his yard on it. Lots of things he can do, not many that he can't.
Right.
And as I said, most of these are easements within an easement or along the VDOT right away, and so they're very, very low impact. But these are people's properties, and so we've been meeting with them individually as needed, and we've made formal offers to all the property owners. And you can see the offer amounts in the package as well.
We anticipate there's going to be probably, I think there are probably six that are going to close next week. Probably as well.
Yeah, we have 30 some that we've already agreed to numbers, but we're scheduling the foreclosures, and the closings will be on the 27th, 28th, and 29th, and then we'll schedule subsequent ones after that.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other questions?
Public hearing.
I don't know if there's any other questions from your board. Okay, hearing none, we will open the public hearing. Please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. Are there any questions for the board? Seeing none, I will now close the public hearing. Do we have a motion?
I move the Board of Supervisors approve the attached resolution entitled Resolution to Authorize Initiation of Condemnation Proceedings and Use of Quick Take Procedures for Acquisition of Property and Interest in Property for the Zions Crossroad Water and Sewer System Project.
Second.
We have a motion before the board made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passed 5-0. We'll now move forward. Q. Piedmont Public Safety Communication System, Mr. Nichols.
So, Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is actually a really great deal and a really good collaboration between Louisa County and our county. We put in a Motorola E911 system, communication system, over the last couple of years. It's been working great for our county. The core that we have, the central core of that we have in our county, can be shared by another county, and Louisa has planned to go forward with that. They're also going to have a Motorola system that matches the same kinds of specifications as ours. So they will be sharing in the use of our core. They'll be sharing in the initial acquisition cost of the core system and ongoing annual maintenance costs. I think it's about $360,000 or $370,000, their share of the original acquisition cost. And it's about $60,000 a year, I think it's about $60,000 a year in annual maintenance costs that they'll share, 60 or 65. But whatever the maintenance cost is every year, we share it 50-50 between the two counties. As part of this project, we've been working on the agreement between the two counties, but it also requires a formal ordinance adoption by both counties to approve this type of agreement. Louisa County approved their ordinance last month, and it's on our agenda for approval here too. Once this is done, then both counties have formally agreed, put an ordinance in place, and then we have an agreement that will be signed by the two county administrators and county attorneys, and then the money will change hands, and they will, as they're ready to, connect to our system by using an antenna on the tower at the CBEC site up on Route 15. So it's certainly a win-win and a great collaboration. We really appreciate all the hard work from the finance department, from emergency management, and from the E911 Center in answering all these kinds of questions, making this document work. It's pretty extensive, and it took a long time, but we're there, and we appreciate it.
Is this the one that still other counties can be a part of?
Good question, sir. So this core system that we bought with our Motorola system only will allow us to work with one other county. It's the type of core it is just doesn't allow multiple users. It will allow two users. So this one will be shared with Louisa County. The County of Madison and the County of Greene are still working on expanding or creating what systems they're going to have. They are both very interested, their county administrators and their board of supervisors, in collaborating with Louisa and Fluana. If they do, and if they go forward with a Motorola system that matches the specifications here, we would collectively, between the four counties, buy a new core. It's, is it M2 core? I can't remember the designation. Do you remember M2 core? I think it's an M2 core. It's a different style. In other words, a bigger computer that can be used by multiple systems, and it would have a redundant part that would be in one of the other counties. That core would be split cost four ways, and the maintenance would be ongoing cost would be split four ways. It would be a great system for all four of the counties, but again, a much lower cost for individual counties trying to do it on their own. We're going to save almost $400,000 in the first year with capital cost and maintenance on our system. If we go to the other core, it'll be a new cost for us, but we'll only pay 1/4 of the cost.
And hopefully we would be able to get something back for the one that we would be trading in.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. We'll work with Motorola to find out whether there's a trade-in value. They gave us a pretty good deal on the old radios we were turning in and things, and so we hope there's a trade-in value on something like this too.
We'll wait for Mr. Dahl to work his magic with those numbers.
It's possible. You never know.
Yeah, it could be. It could absolutely end up being, no pressure.
Motorola could end up paying us. So.
Hey. I'll believe that
one. Okay.
So. All right. Do we have any questions from the board? No questions from the board? All righty, I will. Hearing none, we will open the public hearing. Please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic directed to the board. Does anyone wish to speak at this time? Seeing no one, I will close the public hearing. I will add one comment. The really nice thing about us going on the same radio system with Louisa will make it a lot easier for us to work together, both with the Sheriff's Department and with the Fire and Rescue. I know that at times right now we have a difficult time trying to communicate back and forth. We've gone as far as handing one of our radios said, here, just hold on to this. But it will make things a lot easier, and we are working together a lot better now. So, do we have a motion? Motion made by Ms. Eager, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. We'll now move forward with our action matters. The first one is going to be tab R, approve and accept purchases and deeds, Zions Crossroads Water and Sewer Project. Mr. Payne.
Mr. Chairman, we have what we have before you is we have two form deeds. And these are for the acquisitions. If you notice, one of them is called a deed, and the other one is called a deed and deed of easement. The let me take the latter first. The deed and deed of easement is for the few parcels that we are acquiring in fee, because not only are we acquiring the fee, but we're also acquiring easements that lead to the site of these things. The reason they're worded the way they are is to satisfy the title insurance requirement.
Yes, sir.
The deed of easement is exactly what it sounds like, and it lays out what the county can do in the easement, what the landowner can residually do in the easement, what the county will do to work with the landowner, things like that. For example, Ms. Eager and I were talking about a case where a landowner was concerned because they had some plantings that would be in the way of the easement, and they were concerned losing all those plantings. And this document would provide that plantings of that sort, there were bushes, as I recall, plantings of that sort would be restored by the county. We would have to take them out, but we would restore them, we would replace them when we got done. Now, that wouldn't apply to everything, because there are things that you can't put in an easement like this. An obvious thing being building, and one other thing is you can't put trees in, because the weight of the tree is too much, and the roots get in the way of the lines. But that's how these easements were drafted. They're quite lengthy, pretty specific. None of this is what I would call innovative, trail-breaking drafting. These are pretty much tried and true provisions from other utility easements. So what we need to do is that we need to have the board approve the form of the easements. You'll see blanks in them. Don't worry about that. We'll fill those in with the descriptions and the dates and the names of the parties, things like that. And also, as you can see from the sample motion that we've got, to authorize the county administrator to accept the grants of both the easements and the fee, to make adjustments as necessary for the compensation that is going to be paid and other incidental things leading up to the closing. And that would be subject for our approval. But that's what we need. This would be an ongoing thing.
Okay. Very many donations.
Right now we actually have six, I think, that are what I would call hard. Then there are about 30 more, I think, that have indicated that they were favorable, but they're not committed.
They've said yes, but it's a non-binding.
Yeah, they've said yeah, pretty much yes, but they haven't done it formally. There's about half of them haven't responded, which of course is a problem. And then there are six properties with three owners that have rejected our offers without any counteroffer. So those will certainly have to be condemned unless there's a dramatic change in the landowner's position.
Maybe we'll be able to work something out when we go back.
We'll certainly be meeting with them to the degree we can
have to turn around 180 degrees.
Yes, sir.
The biggest problem we've had really lately, I mean, so far, is not people rejecting it, but
just people
not responding.
Yeah.
Which is not really surprising, but it is kind of tedious work.
Yeah, some people are out of the country on vacation, or they live in Florida, and the properties are here, but Mr. Stevens has been doing due diligence.
Give us his best bloodhound impersonation, and he'll track them down.
He searched every website and found lots of phone numbers. So.
All right. Thank you all very much. Are there any other questions from the board? Okay, do we have a motion?
Sure. I move to approve the purchase of the land, permanent easements, and temporary construction easements shown on the plats and plans for the Zions Crossroads Water and Sewer Project, where an agreement with the owners as to consideration and terms can be reached. To accept the deeds of conveyance, including any donations of such property, subject to approval as to form by the county attorney. To authorize the county administrator to execute the county's acceptances of the deeds of conveyance, and to execute and to deliver such other documents as he deems necessary or appropriate to complete the transactions. And to authorize the county administrator, in consultation with the county attorney, to approve the final consideration to be paid and to approve the terms of the documents in connection with the transaction, including but not limited to any revisions of the deeds of conveyance or any other documents as he deems necessary or appropriate, consistent with the requirements of the project and within the funds budgeted and appropriated for the project.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Eager. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye, motion passes 5-0.
Did that pay for reading that line?
I was going to say, boy, you got your money's worth on that. S, FY18 fourth quarter budget report, FY18 to FY19 carryover request. Mr. Foley.
Thank you for having me. So I'm going to go over the FY18 fourth quarter budget report. So the expenditures for all the budgets ended, or most of the budgets ended within 90 to 100%. So that means we spent our money well and didn't overspend.
Good.
So we have about a little bit over $1 million remaining in the county operational budget. And we wanted to highlight some of the departments and agencies and offices that perform well and were significantly under budget. And these would be county attorney, reassessment, the sheriff's office, E911, fire and rescue, emergency management, the CSA purchase services, parks and rec, and then the miscellaneous non-departmental. And then this is just another slide showing that the school's operational budget had about $1.5 million, a little bit over that, remaining left in their budget. And on the screen shows a breakdown of funding sources of that $1.5
million. And just a note on the $1.1 million, that's automatic carryover funds. It's funds for specific purposes that carry forward. And so we've either already done or will be doing motions on those for you to carry those funds forward. The 427 is what would come back to fund balance.
And that's it for me. Thank you for having me, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for him?
And then we'll kind of just transition into kind of just giving you an overview of where the fund balance ended up, and then we'll kind of go right into the carryovers, which kind of ties into where budgets ended up for fourth quarter, for the end of the year. So this is just a summary. Like I said, it says preliminary at the top. I'm still working a lot of the final year in numbers. We have to have everything submitted to the state by the 30th. So, but these are pretty tight. But like I said, a few little things could change here and there. So budget versus actuals for revenues. I can just go down and touch a couple of the big numbers and the big differences, why we maybe had surpluses or shortages. Real estate taxes, that's just primarily due to one, increased collections, and then two, the second half, when we increase the tax rate, that obviously has an effect on the second half of taxes. If you look at real and personal property, real and personal public service, $600,000. Last fiscal year, we ended up $500,000 short, and it was just the timing of one of the utility company's payments is all it is. So it was just kind of a flip-flop between fiscal years. The $180,000 up in property tax penalties and interest, again, better than average collections. People are starting to pay some of their back due taxes. Other local taxes, $488,000 up. A big portion of that was what was budgeted for sales tax revenue, our 1%. And I think another portion, around 100-some thousand, had to do with recordation taxes, too.
Unfortunately, sales taxes are up statewide. This last month was 10% again, and about 4.5% for the year.
And for fiscal year 19, we actually increased our budget numbers too, kind of based upon once we started seeing, 6 months through last fiscal year. So we're going to be a little tighter on where our sales tax revenues are. So I don't think we're going to see such a big surplus unless, like, we just do tremendously in sales tax revenue above our expectations. Charges for services, that just basically is attributed to the cost recovery program from what we budgeted versus what we brought in. I think we budgeted around 500 and we ended up bringing in about 650. And then there are some other lines that were down a little bit. Under miscellaneous revenue, $435,000 up. The biggest components of that, we sold two elementary schools. We had the timber sale for down behind the community center. And we also ended up getting back $125,000 from Albemarle County. That was for our portion of debt service reserve for the Blue Ridge Juvenile Detention.
So they didn't use all that year?
Correct. There is a reserve that was sitting there for a while when they took out the debt proceeds, and when the loan was paid off, that debt service reserve fund.
The loan itself, yes, was paid off.
Yeah.
The reserve that was there, like we did on our project, you have to pay the reserve like we did for James River Water Authority. That just sits there in escrow, and when the debt's paid off, then that reserve, kind of a deposit, if you will, sure, is paid back to the localities who put that in. So.
Yep.
And what was it yearly?
The debt service?
Yes.
Wasn't our portion $65,000?
I want to say $65,000, $70,000, something
so
like that.
That's paid off.
That's paid off.
Yes. So that'll be a plus this year.
It was in last year. This is just coming forward in this year, but last fiscal year we didn't pay the debt service either. It wound up then. So.
This is just after the loan's been paid off, the debt service is done, and now since the debt service reserve fund was sitting out there, now they're just kind of truing up and dispersing what was remaining to the localities that put into it.
But the yearly or quarterly payments?
No, we're still going to have quarterly payments.
We still have quarterly payments.
Pay
off together?
Yes. No. But we're still going to have quarterly payments for daily beds and daily juveniles that we have in the center, but we don't have the debt service payment.
The operations costs go on in perpetuity.
Right.
That's always there, just like for Central Virginia Regional Jail. But the capital cost of a debt project, like when they built the add-on to the jail, when that's paid off, that's a good savings every year, but you're still paying the day-to-day operational costs for our share.
Yep. And so then if you look down here in state and federal, the biggest difference is for social services, federal revenue ended up coming in better for them. State revenue ended up coming in below what was budgeted. So we ended up $50 million, and this is general fund revenue. So $50.4 million. So if you look at expenditures, and this is just kind of going by the big function levels, and let me kind of go down, like I said, the slide that Mr. Pollitt had showing the $1.1 million. The only difference in this one, this is basically the 1.1, but when you add the school's $427,000 coming back to the county, that's the 1.1 plus the 427. So I'm trying to see if there's anything major in here. And like I said, Mr. Pollitt's previous slide for the fourth quarter budget report addressed some of the departments that had some leftover funds, and some of the departments that are requesting carryover requests, they're here as well, and those are some of the departments that had some of the larger carryover or had some of the larger unexpended funds in 18. So total expenditures, $47.2 million. So this is how we always kind of figure out where we're going to end up at the end of the year. Like I said, preliminary numbers, but pretty close. $50 million in revenue, $47 in expenditures. So our excess is $3.1 million. Every fiscal year, we budget in the revenues what we're going to transfer to FUSD, but to Sewer Fund and now to Zions Crossroads. So we got $728,000 that we transferred out to them. CIP transfers was $4.2 million. So our change in fund balance this year, it's going to be a little bit of a hit this year, and I can tell you the main reasons for that. So we've been pretty steady in our fund balance amounts every single fiscal year. We end up with a surplus in the revenues over expenditures, which kind of offsets these transfers that we have. So it's about neutral every year. Whereas if we didn't have that excess surplus at the end of the year, our fund balance would just keep on going down and down year after year. But this $1.8 million, the biggest reason for that was primarily the debt service payment that we paid off. We had an early prepayment for one of the school's literary loan. I don't know if you remember, but back in July of the previous fiscal year, we paid, it was about $1.6 million that the board decided that they wanted to pay down that principal amount for that debt service. And so we used fund balance for that, and then we had about $200,000 when we took out the Zions Crossroads debt proceeds. Instead of capitalizing the interest payments, we paid out of fund balance for that. So the 1.6 plus the $200,000 is kind of the biggest change in that. Otherwise, you know, if you're just looking at our normal excess, well, I don't want to say normal excess, but where we ended up with excess versus what our transfers are, we would have been kind of cost neutral. But the Zions Crossroads interest payment, and then paying off that it was the literary loan fund off early. That's kind of what contributed to that. So
tell me,
Go ahead, ma'am.
Refresh my memory. Tell me something about the sewer. You're talking about the one down here?
The Palmyra sewer?
Yeah.
Yes.
What is the future? I mean, what's going to happen there?
It'll continue to run. It'll continue to be underfunded as far as customers until we expand its capability or expand people that are connected to it.
Yeah.
Well, and plus the system.
Off, you know, sometimes it's all, I think it's a 0%.
It's 0%. It's 0.
0%.
It's 0%.
Yeah. So it's about as good as you can get.
Yeah.
So, back up one slide, please, Eric. The one note on this, that 427 that's listed for the schools, you will probably recall that at one time that number was 800,000. And that was talked about a lot. The Mr. Winkler? Mr. Winkler, when he comes next month for the December 5th meeting, we'll explain kind of where those numbers have changed. They always thought there was going to be about $800,000 left. And so really there's about $700,000 left. And that's close enough estimate to what they thought, $700,000 or $800,000. So, but the problem is about somewhere between 190 and 270 thousand of that $700,000 or $800,000 didn't come in last fiscal year. The state changed the way they did the payments on that, and it isn't going to come in until maybe just came in like in November or December. It comes in this fall. If that money goes back on track and that dollars comes in this fiscal year for this fiscal year, then those monies are still excess to the schools and could come back to go into fund balance.
Well, and one thing to note on that too, if they get this excess revenue in this fiscal year, because as Mr. Nichols said, the state came back in August and said, oops, you know, we're going to tell you that we're not going to give you all your fiscal year 18 sales tax payments for June. You're going to get them not until maybe November or December. So from our standpoint, we can't count on that revenue because at the time they had no definitive time for when that money was coming in.
And the problem with all this.
Well, it's just the state on the way they're doing their reimbursements of state revenues and things. It's just a matter of timing. Sometimes it changes from year to year. Sometimes it's a political change. Sometimes it's an end of fiscal year change. But because it came in the wrong fiscal year, it can't be counted in that savings. So $600,000 or $700,000. If they get that twice in this fiscal year, then half of that would be available for fund balance recoupment. That's what I want to make sure you're aware of before you have a meeting next month. But again, if the state changes that reimbursement number permanently, where last year's money came in this fiscal year, they have to have it because they're not going to get this fiscal year's money because it's going to come in next year. It all got pushed out a year. So the county just lost for a year, but pushed out a year, but you can't pull it back from the schools because it's part of their budget need. If they get it twice this year because they put the payments back where they were supposed to be, then there may be some more money coming back to fund balance.
Well, and then
money flow problem, do you think?
The state?
Yes.
No, sir. No, it's a mass.
They're not even returning income tax refunds either for months and months and months.
Just wait until this season, this legislative season. It's going to be an interesting one because there's a whole bunch of extra money around. And oh, by the way, a lot of people are going to get hammered on their taxes this year because the state hasn't caught up with the federal tax changes.
Yeah, they're talking that the state's going to have excess revenue because of the way the federal tax laws changed. The state tax laws didn't change the same way.
If you take the federal deduction, which is now $24,000 for a married couple, you have to then, by state law, take the standard deduction for state income taxes. And it won't be near as generous as the $24,000 was at federal. So the state is going to have a windfall likely because many people will find that the $24,000 standard deduction on their federal taxes is better than what they were doing itemizing. So they will stop itemizing and just take the $24,000 deduction because it's so generous, but you can't do the same on the state. So there's lots of discussions with the state legislature on what to
tax
do,
law changes.
There's so many nuances to it. We talked about a lot last week at VACO. There are a lot of nuances to it. It will be an interesting season this year, but I expect it's not going to be too strong in residents' favor, citizens' favor, because it's an election year. All the entire state legislature is up next year, and so all the representatives will be up for re-election. that not much happens in those years. So it's going to be an interesting 2 or 3 years with the legislative sessions. And in December, we'll have a legislative update from TJPDC. I think December 21st, they're going to have one. I'll get the dates and times out to you to talk about the upcoming legislative session and what may or may not be discussed. But there's a lot of discussion about last week at VACO because of that stuff.
And yet the state of Virginia ranks 23rd in debt compared to all the other states. So we have more debt than what I thought we would have.
Yeah, well, we're well above 50%, which is better than more than half, which is good, but it'd be nice to be number one in the lowest amount of debt.
Well, and they're talking about, too, a lot of this excess revenue they're going to be putting back into their reserve fund to keep the strong debt rating that the Commonwealth has.
The AAA bond rating they have, the state really likes that, and that's good for the state for any kind of new debt services or things that go on. But to do that, you've got to have significant reserves. And anyway, it'll be an interesting discussion. But the thing for the schools, Mr. Winkler said he thought around 800,000. So to me, that means somewhere between 6 and 8, depending on when everything shakes out. It looks like it's about 6 or 7, but part of it didn't come in last fiscal year, came in this fiscal year. If they get it twice, then we'll certainly be asking the question about where does that money come back to the county. But if it's just been deferred off permanently, then it's just money that's not available because it gets us to get deferred perpetually. So.
And just one quick note too here as I'm looking at this, under education here, you see where it says 17, 16 million, part of the general fund, that's just the county's contribution. That's not the school's overall budget. They're like 38 some million, but that's what's counted in the, when we look at what comes in for general fund expenditures. So anyway, we'll be seeing probably about around a $1.8 million decrease in our overall fund balance.
But mostly good because we paid off debt.
Yeah, we talked about this. Right. We knew it was going to be going down some.
Yep. So.
And that does not include if we cash fund, which we're going to do part of.
Oh, yeah, that money's still there.
Yeah. So, next we'll go into the fiscal year 18 and 19 carryover requests. So our policy 3.1.10 reappropriation of balances basically just says those amounts necessary for continuation for operating projects or services may be requested by departments. Such request will be for specifically defined projects that could not have reasonably been started or completed prior to the June 30th. And then the requests are reviewed by the county administrator and they're presented to the board for their consideration. So these are kind of the four instances that we see carryover requests. So under number one, we have a couple. One, FY18 budget authority, yes. So for number one, the project or initiative was started in FY18, but just could not be completed.
And funded and started, yep. But couldn't be completed.
Yep, and so that meets the existing policy. Number two, the project was funded for FY18, but just due to circumstances, they couldn't have started that project in fiscal year 18. So those two, number one and two, those meet our existing policy. Under number three and number four, so these do not meet our policy, and so they basically did not have budget authority. So under number three, requesting carryover of FY18 remaining funds to cover certain one-time special or capital projects that are not already approved or funded. So that does not meet the existing policy. So I guess a good example of that is I had funds left over in fiscal year 18 and I want to do something different in fiscal year 19. You know, I want to buy a new computer program or I want to buy brand new office furniture, but it wasn't budgeted. That's kind of what that would fall under. Number four, requesting carryover of FY18 remaining funds for new or unanticipated operating expenses not included in the 19 budget. So when you see some of the carryover requests, some of the departments, we noted on there whether or not their request met the county's reappropriations policy. And it's not that they're, you know, illegal or you can't do it. The board has approved some requests before, carryover requests that did not meet the policy, but those are kind of the four circumstances for where carryovers fall. So right here, these are the departments, agencies, offices that requested carryover requests. You can see we have under what item it is, what department agency it falls under, what budget line it comes from, the dollar amount, and then we have a that final column where it says meets policy, yes or no. And some of these, you know, may be perfectly fine. The board may want to approve them, but we just wanted to bring to your attention so you're informed if it meets our policy. Yeah,
if you're going to, on a recurrent basis, as a board, approve carryovers for different requests than what the policy says, you need to change the policy.
Well,
because every year, if we're going to continue to have these kinds of things carried forward, and if you think it's for good rationale, that's fine. It just wasn't the intended purpose of a reappropriation the way the policy was written. So that's why we're pointing that out.
And just in general, too, that's generally not a reason, just in the general scheme of things, for reappropriations. Or you can leave the policy as it is and just consider them from year to year if you want to. But, I mean, like I said, if we want to consider them all the time and let everyone submit whatever they want, we can certainly change the policy.
So well, here, and we can go down through these item by item whenever you're ready.
Here, what you have on yeses is $192,000, and on the noes you have $81,680.86.
So the biggest one I can tell you right now is for the easiest and clearest one is for the fire and rescue. So normally when we buy apparatus, it falls under our CIP, but this was an apparatus for Lake Monticello for the $175,000. So the board approved $175,000 for brush truck. Brush truck in fiscal year 18. They ordered the brush truck in fiscal year 18. The brush truck's not completed in fiscal year 18. It's not coming in until fiscal year 19. So they're requesting carryover. That clearly meets our policy. Yes. And some of these other ones too. I mean, you can see which ones I have for, I mean, we can easily answer any questions you have about any of them. We also have some of the individuals from those departments and agencies here to basically, you know, give their reasoning and rationale for why their request is a good thing for their department and agency. And some of them that, even though they may not meet the policy, may not be that they're horrible, that they're bad ideas to do. But
if you say do it, it's not a bad thing then.
Well, for example, the nose again is $81,000. Where's that $81,000 coming from?
So
money left over.
Well, at the end of the day, at the end of the day, all these, it's just, so we had money left at the end of our expenditure budget. It goes back into fund balance. All you're doing is basically taking all these out of fund balance again and reappropriating those amounts in fiscal year 19.
So why are they coming in so late into this period right now? Why?
Because
authority.
Well, because one
this way every year, sir. In October and November, you get these requests every year.
Because until we finish out our fiscal year 18 numbers, we don't want to have them say, okay, well, we want to request X amount of dollars, and let's just say after we're done auditing their numbers, they didn't really have X amount left over.
Yeah. We can't do it any earlier until we know what is completely done and the bills have been paid for that fiscal year. So this happens every year in October and November.
All right. So,
I mean, we can go down through each request, if you want, and I'm not sure.
So you were saying there's 1.1 left over right now, correct?
Correct, out of the expenditure budget, yes.
So that 81,000 and 175 would all be taken away from that 1.1?
Correct.
But the 175,000 is for the brush truck that we approved that just hadn't gotten done yet.
Right. That one just, the ones that are yes are ongoing programs. You've already approved, you funded, they just couldn't be completed in that fiscal year. So those are clear yeses.
So those basically in fiscal year 18, our 1.1 would have been less that amount because they had it budgeted, couldn't have been finished.
So let's just go down, do we need to go down one by one?
The nose.
The nose.
So here's the two. For the first two are the ones from Cooperative Extension.
Right, the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. They're requesting $14,600 for the last equipment required to finish off the commercial kitchen at the community center, and then
project that won't die.
And then
it sure doesn't die, does it?
And then number two is for completing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
I was hoping we cannot get it right.
Right. Yeah.
So that's a cooperative extensions request. And they're basically requesting excess funds from fiscal year 18, basically from the absence of having an extension agent.
These notes, they're making commitments without knowing.
No, they're not making commitments. These commitments cannot be made until you approve them. The nose only can move forward if you approve them. Like, for instance, the fire truck, the brush truck, that one was already approved in 18.
Yeah, but what do you do if you don't do these notes? I mean, they'll put it in the next year's budget, right?
So they'll request it next year, sure.
Yeah.
And then the board determines if they want to fund them in the budget.
But the people that are here to speak to these may be able to speak very eloquently on why it's not good to wait 7 months, because right. Maybe it's something that came up the last minute, even if it doesn't meet policy. I'm just suggesting that we're just showing you which ones meet policy, which ones don't. Ask questions of the people that are here, and they may have some rationale that you would support, or maybe not. But you just have to make a decision every year.
I would think that it should meet policy before they make a decision to spend it. That would be my thing.
Well, that's what you said. You all set the policy.
Well, but we can
hear. Oh, we can always change it since we're the boss. Right.
Well, I mean, like I said, for the ones that are marked no, these ones have not been spent yet. These have not been spent in fiscal year 19. If the board approves these carryover requests in fiscal year 19, then the ones that are marked no, then they'll go ahead and they'll expend those dollars.
Mrs. Chair, I'd like to hear from Parks and Recreation in the kitchen, because they're saying that they can have people come in and use that kitchen. I want to know.
Well, is that Parks and Rec? Well, Ms. May?
It's kind of both of them.
Okay, well, both of y'all, please approach the witness stand.
As you stated, we talked about putting this in a Parks and Rec budget last year. I'm just trying to get this kitchen finished. John Thompson started in 2016, and it's been sitting. We can use it for teaching purposes only, but we cannot rent it to the public, and that was the intent of the project. Right. We've had several inquiries over the last year. Is your kitchen available? Can we rent this facility? We've had folks stop in and look at it and say, when can I use it? And the answer is, they cannot rent
it. Well, that, I thought, was one of the reasons that we approved it.
It's not finished.
And you're going to get the money back.
It's not finished, but it's not finished.
Correct.
When it's finished, though, can you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, those three pieces of equipment, we can certify that kitchen.
Those three pieces of equipment make you rentable.
We can certify, therefore we can rent.
And what would be the renting fee? And how quickly, I mean, what kind of money would you be getting back? Any idea?
I can't answer the exact amount. I do know that as soon as it is certified, we talked about setting an hourly rate already. All of that paperwork is in process. We just can't do anything with it.
Tell me what kinds of things that people are going to do in there. Make jollies,
The inquiries I've had have been everything from a juicing business to a candy production facility and then being able to can. So those are just the inquiries, again, that I received the phone call for. I can't speak to what Ms. Redmond or Parks and Rec may have received.
Caterers from outside the county can come in and use it to warm up their stuff, to serve to different people.
If they have a wedding there,
they can use it to make it, that kind of stuff.
That money that comes in, would that go into the county coffers?
That would go into the
general fund. It's just like when we take over a different rental, any of our rentals goes right back to the general fund. It does not go back to our department. So it'd actually be under Parks and Rec is who the rentals would go under. Even though we are working together, I'm sorry.
But the money comes back to the general fund. It's collected by Parks and Rec. Right. But just like their fees.
I mean, that was always the selling point, that it would pay for itself, coming back to the county.
Until we divvy up that $14,600,
right. Until we get this three pieces of
equipment.
Tony and I had an agreement on this.
This has been hanging out for too many years.
And one of the reasons is we
kind of got sold a little bill of goods by the Virginia Tech folks that came up and did the original preliminary study and laid it out and said, we need this and we need this and we need this. And it was pretty optimistic. The equipment that has to be in there took a fair amount of time to acquire, because you only put dribs and drabs at it. And Mr. Stevens' crews and the contractors he hired got as much work done as fast as they could. But it is sitting waiting now for these final three pieces.
Right.
If they ever come and ask for another piece again, I hope that you say no.
Only
because sooner or later you've got to get to the end where it's ready to go, until it's replacement time.
Right.
Until something needs to be replaced.
That's 20 years.
And we need to put this stuff in there before the other stuff needs to be replaced.
Yes.
Right. That's right.
Sooner rather than later, sir.
It's better been too long.
Remind me of the agreement, Mr.
3 years?
I know what the agreement was.
No, I'm asking you to remind me.
You don't want me to remind you.
No, no, I do want you.
I'll tell you in private, but
okay.
Because it's not very nice.
It is, okay.
All righty.
I can't, I find it hard to fathom, but no, no, no.
Okay, so you talked about that one, you want to go to the next ones?
Well,
and the shed seems like a thing that has, because it can't use the basement storage.
Right.
The basement is never going to be perfect, perfectly dry, and so we store a lot of things down there, but it can't be for all the things they've got.
It can't be for food or anything like
and
that.
And you can't get heavy equipment because of steps.
We contract with Public Works to assist us with getting heavy items, but I can't physically take them down 13 steps by myself.
Mm-hmm. So the storage will be where? Additional storage?
There's a line of sheds there.
Oh, you're going to do it.
Where A, B, and right along with all those other sheds.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think there's room in the middle where there's an opening right now and fit it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All righty. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Mm-hmm. Don't have any for y'all. Let's move on to the next set.
Do we approve it as we go or we come back?
The overtime pay, I believe, was yes.
That one, they're going to do the new CAD system. They've got to do a lot of training. And so.
Going down all of those for the E911, they all revolve around the new CAD system. And we were trying to start them all, but we did 6 months of programming, setting up the system. We weren't able to get it all done. And then the maintenance contract one, that one is upgrading our storage capacity for our server to be able to match the RMS system because we're all paperless now. Mm-hmm. So we're using up more storage than we knew we were coming. So.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why that one's a new cost.
That we're realizing because of the CAD system we were implemented last fiscal year.
Because we're more paperless now.
Yes.
This was an unintended consequence.
Yeah.
But it's not a perpetual cost.
No.
It's a one time
that we expand it to be able to hold it.
Yeah, we're going to put all the storage we need into we should ever need if we do it.
And if we don't?
We're going to have to find the money. We're going to have to request it from you this year.
Right. Okay. I got you. Because the don't sometimes make it into a yes.
All right. What's the telecommunications
one? So telecommunications one, that one is the one. The new system allows us to use iOS products in the field. So our investigators, command staff, we wanted to get, instead of you giving them mobile data terminals, they don't have the computers. We give them iPads to be able to do their reports and stuff from the field. Mm-hmm. And that was something we were going to try to get done too, but we just didn't get it in time. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't go live till mid-June with the project.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Hey
man, I tried.
All right, so those two are two things that just kind of happened because you said it was mid-June and finally got up and running.
Yes, sir.
You found out about those.
Yeah, and in the IT services, that one we were planning on doing, but with us being all busy and not able to get things through, we didn't get those finished.
Okay. Any questions from the board about those two no's? Mm-hmm. Any of the four?
No.
Ms. Eager?
I just think that we should fund the yeses and have everything come back over the budget just as cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree. I think that there's no point in delaying something that's going to be spent in, you know, making training or whether it's the use of a facility that we've, you know, invested in and waiting for that process. I mean, I would in general say that if a department is being efficient in the use of their resources and has leftover money, maybe our policy is too restrictive, maybe we can loosen it a little bit. I think it's still worth review, but probably not worth review if the request is under $5,000, in my opinion. I think that's a relatively small amount that a department should be able to use those monies for projects that they see without us having to spend a lot of time nickel and diming over those. Larger ones, certainly when we're looking at spending $14,000 or $30,000 in one of the requests there, those are worth consideration. And so far, at least the ones that have been presented to us, to me, seem like they're reasonable, they're timely, and they will result in efficiency, whereas pushing it down to next year is not efficient, in my opinion.
And frankly,
so fitch policy is just not efficient.
Yeah. We should not be bringing any of the ones to you that are within policy. You're going to approve those because you already approved it last year. We shouldn't even have to bring that to you. It's within policy. I should have the authority just to grant that transfer next month. Now, we have to document that in our systems, but it shouldn't even have to come to you.
Well,
but
the other ones need to. Ms. Seeger, the only reason I would disagree with you on the two no's for this one is because of the timing of the project.
We're talking about these two.
The 911. They didn't go online until mid-June. So he had about 5 days to get back to us for our next last board meeting. So this is one of those things that just kind of happened. And because of the timing, I would hate to wait a full year before we upgrade, because if we do,
y'all know more about
you know more about this stuff than I do. Yeah.
We're putting undue stress on the equipment that we just put in if we don't have the memory.
Well, yeah, I mean, our server will be full by the time that it gets funded.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's. I mean, this is for public safety. It makes the department more efficient.
Can't say no to public safety.
We're going to say yes to it in a short period of time. So
I'm not bored of it. We can say no to them every once in a while. I'm not going to make friends when I say that.
You're here to make friends or do a job. Look, this
I think our job is to make sure that core services are funded properly and that they operate efficiently. Yeah. I think that's our job.
And to scrutinize
expenditures is certainly part of our job. I'm not saying we shouldn't scrutinize, large expenditures. I'm just saying here these are not per se, they weren't in the budget, but each of these departments is under budget to begin with.
But aren't you concerned about an item like $30,000?
No, I am.
Well, we haven't gotten there yet.
As I said, I think that there's maybe a threshold that we should adjust our policy. So I'm going to bet you that young fellow
sitting there with his legs crossed and got a pretty good reason. If he came to us for $30,000, I bet you it's pretty good.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying we shouldn't scrutinize expenditures. I just think there's probably a threshold where it's worth the energy for us to look at it.
You have a point there.
Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, I sat and I read all the things that they said. I didn't see anything that I had a big question about.
But it's
it was a good rationale, and I think I've read, we have this at home for 2 or 3 days. We read it, come back and read it.
As far
it,
as
read
the yeses,
again.
Let's just skip over those. What's going on with the registrar here, with the ballots?
And I understand hers, too.
You have a registrar, Mr. Nichols?
She's back there.
Oh, there she is. I'm sorry.
Very quiet.
The food tax was not on the ballot. She had to reprint them. What's so hard about that?
That's straightforward.
Why are we sitting
here? I'm just having her come up here in case there are any additional questions.
But I'm going to ask her, you have money usually left over at the end of the year.
And that's what she's asking to use. But she's coming to us to ask us if she can do it.
I think if we have it left over, you can use it. That's in the budget already.
All of these budgets.
All of the ones.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know. $30,000 is in the budget.
The $5,000 though was. Remember, you didn't pass the meals tax referendum.
That was
you passed the public hearing stuff and get it for a referendum until she printed the ballot.
Right.
What the heck
are
you doing?
Thank
you, Ms. Banks. Mm-hmm. All right, Chair, I put you on the
stage. Let me just make one note, too, on the $30,000 for the Sally Port. If the board decides to move forward with that, I would recommend putting that in as like a CIP, since it's more like a construction type.
Well, it's under the $50,000 threshold, but we'd at least do it as a CRM.
Good evening. The request here for the Sally Port entrance, as well as the evidence solution, are two projects that were supposed to go hand in hand. We initially started out with the evidence solution and getting the Connex box in at our office, and they knew initially that there would not be enough money to complete the project. As we got to the end of that project and the project is done, now we have to finish the project. In this instance, we have this Connex box that sits in the bottom of our impound lot, It's now wired. It now has heating and air attached to it, but we can't use it at this point because there's no more of the equipment in it that it needs in it for us to actually use it for what it was intended for. So at this point, we need to finish it so that we can transfer all of the evidence and property that we have for our agency into it and to better meet our accreditation guidelines with property and evidence. One of the areas that most every agency has the biggest issue with when it comes down to functioning in the agency and being in compliance is evidence and property storage and maintenance. Currently, we are out of compliance if we continue as we are. That was the reason for starting this last year when they did. At that time when it was started, this became a project that came from Public Works. They came to us towards the end of the year and said, hey, we're out of money at this point. We're going to have to come back and finish this project up, but we're going to have to look to you guys to supply the dollars to finish that up. Of course, we didn't have any active dollars at that time. We were trying to maintain our normal operations. We've been frugal with the county's tax dollars and done a good operation in the sheriff's office. And now we're at the end of the cycle, and we'd like to finish this project so that we can actually use this solution as it was intended to be used. At the end of that project, we were supposed to start working on our Sallyport project. The building, when it was initially conceived and built, the idea was to have a Sallyport at that building. At that time, there was an idea to minimize cost and not use that part of the building or have that part of the building constructed. Of course, as you note, our job doesn't get easier, and the demand for our services have not decreased at all. They've increased. Not being able to have an area in the back of our building where when our officers arrive with people that they have arrested, who may have someone that is trying to get at them, or maybe they're waiting in ambush for our officers have no way to be protected in that instance. Because when they arrive to our office, they arrive at the top of a hill, at the corner of a blind building, where they go into an entryway that is a funnel. And if there was anything that came towards them in an attack, they would have no way to defend themselves other than with lethal force if they had the opportunity. But the design of the building and the design of the area that was left the way that it is does not provide them any type of security whatsoever. And at this point, even these dollars would not be enough to complete the entire project. But at least if we get it started, we can hopefully at some point finish it, as we are with our evidence solution. That's the impact for us, is that this is a high-risk incident, if anything happens there, where this part of the building remains unsecured and unprotected for the officers that are out arresting suspects, who are having to protect those very same suspects from those who may want to do them harm, or who may be laying in wait for our officers who are at our office when they come into that back area. I don't know if any of you have had the opportunity to come tour through the sheriff's office, but you know what area I'm talking about if you've been there. Where the holding cells are, there's an exit door. That exit door goes completely to the back parking lot and the wood line. And that's the top of the hill and back parking lot where there's no security at for these officers. It's just not appropriate for it to continue to be that way in light of the increase of types of violence that are occurring all around our country and with our law enforcement officers and the degree of that type of crime when it occurs. I do ask you to fund completely the $30,076.71 that's listed there in an effort to complete that Connex box solution and begin working on the high-risk problem of the Sallyport area.
Mr. Chair, my apologies to the sheriff and to Captain Hill. I had not had a chance to go all through these in detail. It's been a little busy lately. There are two things here that we need to really keep separate, and I don't dispute that these are important and necessary projects. The Sallyport project is a brand new thing. It's been needed since the day the sheriff's office opened, but it's a brand new project. It has not been funded yet. Public Works has not started on that yet. They did all the interior changes, your office changes in your cells. The Sallyport's needed, but it's a brand new project. Okay? We haven't funded it. We haven't started working on it. We haven't done anything. The Connex project, on the other hand, the board approved some funds for it last year, the last couple of years. There's a new fenced-in area. There's a new Connex box, a container unit out there. But to my understanding, the only thing we were going to do out there was put the Connex box, put shelving in it, and put an AC unit in it so it would keep the materials that are in there reasonably climate-controlled, but not, you know, cold storage and not office space. That's done.
Unfortunately, at this point, the box remains unused. At this current moment, it's actually leaking. There's an area in it where we can't, it's getting water inside the box. Okay, and
that's a fix that we can have
and done. That's a fix we could have done. The second part is in the HVAC system. One of the units that's brand new is not working either. I think part of the problem here is that this is a solution that can't be fully used. It's not in full operation. And because of that, these systems are starting to fail because it's not being used. Anything that sits deteriorates.
I'm sorry, I have to dispute that. If this brand new AC unit that's in there doesn't mm-hmm. work, just let me know. We'll get it fixed. I mean, for mm-hmm. sure. I wasn't aware that it wasn't working. We'll mm-hmm. fix it. If there's a leak in the Connex, that's mm-hmm. easy to fix too. Mm-hmm. But that has nothing to do with making the Connex habitable and completely done. That's a 5-minute fix or a 5-day fix, and it's within existing funding.
Yeah. These are the starts. These are the starts. We talked about putting in this Connex box as an evidence solution. And in the initial phase, let's get the box there. Let's get shelving in it. Let's get this thing set up so we can use it. To date, it has not been used, and it's been there for about a year. And that's because the shelving's not in it. To have our complete solution done, we have to be able to have an area where we can have refrigeration in there. These are conversations that we talked about initially. We also have to have an area to dry wet materials inside there. If we have evidence, that's blood evidence. We have to be able to deal with flammables or accelerants. These are the types of things that we work on every day. We're only coming to you asking you for the things that we need. There's no fluff in this request. These are the things that we have to have to do the job that we've been tasked with doing for Fluviana County citizens.
We still need a door access. Right now, you have a big open container that it almost takes two people to open the door, right, where we need to have a door cut into the side. If it's going to be functional, it needs to be functional, it needs to be secure. Mm-hmm. And I have to disagree with the county administrator. I've been sheriff for 5 years. I've been asking for 5 years for a Sallyport. A Sallyport is something that should have been built in the initial phases. It's not going to make the $50,000 threshold to do in a CIP. So if we don't, we need to add this to the budget, because every day.
That's what I was wondering. Did you put it in the budget?
No. We will this year. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
But they have not.
Because after 5 years of asking, and we have gotten nowhere on that. Okay. And that's why if we can get the project started or whatever, put it all in the CIP and use it through Public Works to make sure this project gets done. That's not sure. Our forte.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to go out and design.
And
stuff.
That's
we
not
can tell you what we need.
Sallyport at all. I think it's absolutely needed.
We had 15,000.
When the building opened, but
if you put it in budget in the past.
We had 15,000 in there 5 years ago to move that generator so we could create a Sallyport, and that never materialized. It never got moved.
Have you had it in the budget before?
No.
The Sallyport?
The Sallyport. No. Because it doesn't meet the.
It's under $50,000.
Right.
It's under $50,000.
Right. It wasn't needed for 5 years. The 50,000 threshold's only been in place for the last 2 years. This is a discussion that we agree with the sheriff on. The Sallyport's needed.
Right.
But it's a project that's never been proposed
well,
before.
Well, we just need
let's
to find together,
let's
get y'all two together, or get whoever needs to be
sure.
together, and get this done, and get that on the CIP for this coming year.
Well,
or
if this
money
is
in capital reserve.
If whatever the difference over, move it to CRM so we can manage it out there.
Whatever the difference mm-hmm. would be, we'd ask for in the budget. But see, we don't even know what any of those costs are.
Right.
So is the Sallyport
that's
the
very
same one
that's
outside here,
mm-hmm.
and it's brick,
he's talking
and
about
it has a door that comes up
saying.
And down.
Yeah.
Right.
couldn't have brick, we would go cheaper with chain link, with the razor wire, like at the bottom of our lot. So it kind of matches. It's not very attractive, but it's not meant to be attractive.
Right.
This was built to encompass the atmosphere of the entire courthouse, not to have a bunch of razor wire.
We don't want to be too aesthetically pretty and have people wanting to go.
Most people want to see it's on the back of the building. So.
Yeah. So,
but what were you talking about? Things getting wet, and is that about the sally port, or is that the
evidence? No, that's inside our evidence box.
Mm-hmm. The evidence, was that built at the sheriff's office?
Yes.
It was a container.
Outside?
Yes.
Yes. A lot of agencies, to save money, versus adding on to buildings, and they have bought the big container boxes, and they utilize them to store evidence, especially large pieces. And some counties use them to store vehicles that are seized, that nobody can have access to them.
Is ours a 40-footer wing or a 20-footer?
Well, 40.
So it's 8 by 8 by 40.
This really should have been put in when the building was built.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Just like the lighting in the traffic circles over there.
Yeah, that's true. Y'all finally got the lighting up.
Get light, yes. That's something you should, the building should never.
Quite a few things should have been done.
Should have been done.
The building was built first.
And I wasn't a part of any of that. But, you know, I haven't worked anywhere that you didn't have that. Mm-hmm. So, kept coming here 13 years ago, you know, it was like, wow, this is not real safe.
No.
So, well, in the next 3, you're asking just for carryover money so that you can take care of some stuff to.
Right.
Decrease liability.
Yes. Absolutely.
For the first one. Well,
majority, you see what we have in there, but with the change in the meals policy, per diem and stuff, just this year alone in January, we sent 2 people to Academy. That's how much they need just to eat.
They need to, diet. We'll put a little more on that.
So in the
peanut butter and jelly time.
Absolutely.
He really worked hard on this. I'm going to let him take his due.
When it comes down to the request for the dollars for training, as the sheriff mentioned, we have a new meals and per diem policy. Right now, in January, we're going to have to need to send 2 officers for training for 18 weeks. Well, under the per diem policy and being able to send them to that training for 2 weeks, it's going to cost us just a little bit over $8,000. In the amount of money it would take to provide meals and substance for them for that time frame. So the money that we're asking for is going to be instantly consumed as soon as it's appropriated for that purpose, or we're going to have to come back to you and ask for those dollars and maybe perhaps a little bit more. We feel that this is a responsible request, being that we're just trying to mitigate our own issues and asking for dollars for things that we truly need. That's the only purpose for those additional dollars there. We have to be able to give good basic training to our staff if we want them to be law enforcement officers. And in this instance, we're going to be sending 2 to get that training in January.
What kind of money do you have left over at the end of the year in your budget? What kind of money is usually left over?
Overall?
Yes, for the whole budget at the end of the fiscal year.
We had 41,000 this year.
What do you think some of these can be covered for that you'll probably have something? I mean, you can't be right on the penny, surely.
Well, no, absolutely not. And that's why we're here. That's why we're asking, because these are things, like I said, we've been very frugal with dollars throughout the year. And we only do the things that we really need to do. And with that in mind, we're only asking to get basic training needs accomplished with our officers with those dollars for training. And so we're not asking to send an officer to a specialized training and put them up in a great hotel or any of those kinds of things. We're trying to send them to our academy and provide for their food.
But I would think some of these, like 8,000 or 3,000, mm-hmm. should wait more towards the end of the year, but you can probably do it in your own budget with some of the things, some money to be left over at the end of the year, rather than do it right up front.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really need the money, then that's when I would come back, like 2 months before the end of the budget, and say, you know, we've tried to see what we have here, and yeah, we do have enough money that we can't carry. We don't have to come back to you all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I certainly understand 30,000, and to me, that should have been dealt along, like I said.
Well, absolutely. With regards to the police supplies, in the police supplies line, there are two things that are ongoing for us. We do a program called Project Lifesaver. The Project Lifesaver program is a program that was initially designed for Alzheimer's patients, those that wander or have those kinds of disorders that wander, autism and such. So in this program, we are able to put a tracking beacon, a medallion on them that they wear. And if they go lost or wander, our officers are trained to go out and use this equipment to track and find them. Currently, we have on our caseload 7 clients that we service in that program. And we're constantly getting requests to be a part of this program. I believe last week we got 2 applications. And so right now, we can't put anyone else on our program to offer this service to them because we don't have the additional equipment to service these individuals. And so that's what the request is for here in this, is to be able to do that. Now, in addition to that, another thing that was dealt to us this year, every year we request in our budget money for our taser program. Tasers are a less than lethal weapon that's used to control people when needed if there's a problem that arises during an arrest. And so in using the tasers, we've been acquiring them from one company that holds a trademark for them. That company this year dealt us a little bit of a hand that we didn't expect. We were trying to build our tasers so that we could have officers with them as they needed them. But they sent us a notice and said, we're not giving our product guarantee for anything that you own that's over 5 years anymore. So if you use them, you use them at your own risk. Of course, you know we live in a vastly more litigious society today. And if we were to use them and able to malfunction, then we would be coming back explaining to you what happened and helping sort the suit. So what we're trying to do now is we're back to where we began. We have less of them than we did when we initially requested to start the program. Now we need to try and get our other staff these very same things that they need. And so to be able to do that, we're requesting enough money, which is in this $3,800, to do a 1-year installment on a 5-year installment plan, which we typically plan for every year in our budget, to get a new set of tasers in that we can put in the field today or as soon as we order them. Without them, of course, our deputies do not have the additional tools that they need to protect themselves and others while they're out trying to protect the community of Fluvanna. And so those two things are life safety and health safety things that we feel are practical, that are necessary to be able to protect our community and service our community. In regards to the the SPCA building, one of the things that we constantly deal with the SPCA building is trying to provide in an emergency care for the animals when the power goes out. And in the past, there have been some pretty dangerous and perhaps less than desirable ways to provide emergency power to the building that we found out that was going on at that building. What we're asking to do is to take the money that we're looking at here, the $2,904.15, and invest in a permanent generator for the building that would automatically cut on when there's a power outage, rather than having to come find a portable, find a way to plug it into the building to service limited portions of the building during a power outage. That's what we're looking to do with that. This is something that if it was denied, of course, the emergency care of the animals would be the issue that we'd be faced with. Our animal control officers do an outstanding job of providing care for the community and care for animals and making sure that they have quality provisions when they come to our pound. But if we can't provide the care for them at our pound that they're trying to provide the community safety with them, then it kind of defeats our purpose. So we want to be able to provide good care when we are trying to rescue animals and put them in the SPCA and make sure that the provisions that we have there are the best they can be given the circumstances. We feel that a permanent generator would help serve that in an emergency, and we wouldn't have to have too much mingling going on with portable solutions.
Seems like a very low amount for a permanent generator.
It is. It's not even
for what they're talking about.
It's not even close it's a start for us.
No.
But that's about it.
The start didn't get it.
It doesn't.
Why mess with it and not put it in the regular budget?
We could.
If I may. And again, my apologies to Sheriff Kevin Hill, because I hadn't had a chance to go through these. They may not know that the FSPCA is going to be in the regular funding stream this year like everybody else. And we're already working on a generator for them. And you probably couldn't get the generator that you're talking about for less than $25,000. For a whole facility generator that requires automatic start to turn over, A, is not the sheriff's responsibility. And we'll gladly take that on. B, we're already working with the FSPCA to try to do that. We think they need one too. We want the pound services to be excellent. But it is a big expense that they haven't had for the last 25 years, and they may not have it for the next 2 years. But $2,900 is not going to get you there. That's a garage generator that doesn't have any automatic start. And, you know, that's a camper generator.
Well, I mean, we just went up on our funding for them as well.
Yeah, you gave them an extra $45,000 per year for personnel expenses, and they're going to be coming. We met with them last week, to go through their preliminary budget, and they'll be coming in with a formal budget request just like all the other departments do. That'll have line items on there, including capital requirements, like replacing roofs, generators, windows, cages, cement flooring, when there's needs for, like, the sewer system replaced. So I absolutely think this is a great idea. Mm-hmm. It's just a completely underfunded idea, and not one that the sheriff's office needs to take on. That's a public works project.
So going back to item number one, $30,000, you're referring to sort of, and I think there's some clarification that needs to happen
clarify
between the administrator's office and the sheriff's office, but you have spoken about the dangers associated. I don't think any of the board members here want to put sheriff's deputies into danger there, but you refer to the fact that the Sully is less than $50,000. You're requesting $30,000. Why not just do the carryover request with the supplemental request just to get this done, because we're talking about maybe $10,000-$15,000 more,
possibly,
and just be done with that. I mean, because if it's a danger, it's a danger.
That's our perception.
That's not a significant amount.
It has not been project costed yet. I can't tell you what the cost is going to be. These numbers are just carryover dollars that happen to be available that they're applying to programs. And I think the programs make sense to me. They really do.
Yeah.
But these are facility projects that need to be done through Public Works, through CRM, or through a CIP project if it reaches that threshold. But we don't have individual departments manage capital projects. We have individual departments identify the specifications when we get ready to award a contract so they get what they want, get what they need, and it meets the law and requirements, whether it's sheriff's office for selling, I don't know if the law requirements for selling more, but they certainly do.
Right now, it sounds to me like we need to go ahead and just do a project analysis on how much it's going to cost for the whole thing, and then we just go ahead and allot.
Well, move that money to the CRM, and we'll hold it there in anticipation of finishing the project up.
Complete.
I mean, it's nothing to, like I said, all we can do is ask for it.
Sure.
Right.
I don't go out and bid out.
Right. That's what
right.
I'm saying. Let's just get the project. You said you didn't think it was going to be enough. You don't agree to it.
We don't know. We'll get.
Let's get
on our stuff. I have a price. I can't.
Let's
come to you in my budget, which I don't even know that it should be in my.
No,
budget.
Sir.
No.
Right. Mm-hmm. That should be something we take care of.
It does seem like an opportune time to be able to take the carryover request and tie it with supplemental request and complete what's important.
Well, but you can't do that now because we have no idea what the cost is.
No, I understand that. I'm saying, yes, I agree with your point.
Move to CRM.
Put that into the CRM.
Dedicate to the project.
The board now.
And let's go
expecting
ahead.
You can come with that supplemental request.
And find out how much the project will cost and fund it all.
Yeah.
And make sure we get it done right this time.
Sure.
Absolutely.
For lack of better words.
And the other things, as far as the police supplies and convention education, you'll see that reflected in this year's budget with the new per diems figured in, as well as having the project Lifesaver for, because that's a very valuable.
When were the per diems changed?
You changed it.
October 1st is when they were effective.
So that's something that happened after. We didn't
right, you have
to
have
it in
last fiscal year.
Right. So we were paying much less than what that was.
Right. Yeah,
absolutely.
But unfairly so to our sheriff's deputies that were going to France.
Yeah, somebody to eat all day on $25
right.
You're away from home is pretty tough, but that's all we had to do.
To deep or
so a lot of these people went.
hot dogs.
Store around that car and keep cars.
Thank you for your help.
Thank
you.
Well, thank y'all. Well, I'd like to recommend that we do all the carryover requests with the exceptions of the $30,000 and the $2,900 for the SCSBA building.
$2,900. You want to leave the 30 and the 29 out?
Yes.
Right. The 30 and the 29 will do a separate motion to transfer that to capital reserve maintenance fund.
Right.
Because we'll dedicate it to those projects.
Well, and we need to have a price. Rather,
we can,
y'all have done an estimate of $30,000 thinking that will cover a Sallyport.
No.
Let's just get the price of a Sallyport and do the project so that you guys are safe.
And so,
can you finish up the container so that can actually be used, and from there whatever's left over to get a final number on the Sallyport?
Well, I think when you evaluate the whole, you can do that in combination better.
So the one recommendation I'd make, if the board's going to approve all these, maybe put the 290415 and the 30,076, just approve those to go into the CRM. So
they'll be dedicated to those projects.
Yes.
Okay.
Instead of going into the sheriff's budget if they're going towards a Sallyport or something of that nature. So when the request comes,
they put them in the general fund and then we take care of the
CRM. Well, if they go in the CRM
right now,
you're not approving the carryover.
Right.
So if you're not going to approve that carryover, that goes back to general fund. It's perfectly fine. When we get the project
Where it comes from, when we pay for it,
when we come back with the project cost, you'll approve it and then we'll move forward.
So we haven't made a motion yet. We're trying to. He's trying to.
I didn't make a.
He just said he suggested
discussion.
I'm
willing to make a.
What do y'all? What do y'all think about that?
Right.
Because the training thing changed in October, so I mean, there's no way they could foresee that changing and the price going up so much. And I will say this much, talking about the tasers, I can't say her last name, Valerie.
Lavana.
Officer Lavana was talking about how they had to go back, or it might have been Officer Kozan, and trade tasers now. They're having to go back and do that rather than have one assigned to them. They've got to go to the sheriff's office, trade this one for that one.
How expensive are those tasers?
That's an industry standard. That's every law enforcement agency in the country is running into this same.
How much is a taser?
They make a big money. $300 $2,000. Good gracious. And they only last 5 years.
I don't know. Also, we have to be aware that the company that is holding all of the police in hostage.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They
have a monotony.
Yeah. They got that monopoly going, and they just, you're over a barrel, and ain't a whole lot. How many tasers do we have as a department?
Not counting the ones that now we can't use. We only have 8 tasers right now.
Wow.
And that's to be shared amongst 34 officers. So what that does is that limits, if we call on our officers to come to respond to an emergency, they're going to come without that tool.
Right.
Because they would have to go to headquarters.
You're going
to
have a lot of officers respond. Heaven forbid if we had a school shooting. You're going to have a lot of officers that are going to respond. They're off duty.
More than a taser, probably.
But I'm just saying, they're going to respond, and only 8 of them are going to have a taser if they have it on them.
Right.
How much? There's no price here for that. Do you have any idea?
$2,000. He said $2,000 a taser.
Per year. So the contract is about $2,000 a year for 5 years, a total of about $10,000. That would get us 10 tasers that we can use right now.
So $1,000 a taser.
Yes. They're about
over 5 years. Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't approve this, he's going to test fire on you.
Bring it.
Okay.
So based on what you've talked about, we put the total at the bottom that excludes the $30,000 and the $2,900, if that's what your wish is. Then you just read the motion as is, go down through there, skipping those two lines. When we come back to those, we will have generator information in the FSPCA budget. That's an ongoing process. When we get a project, when we identify what the project is and get the contractors to come in and give us a price, then we'll have a price to be able to put towards that Sallyport project. The Connex, I didn't know it wasn't finished. It can be finished whenever, and the dollars are already available for that.
That's something we need to go find. That's something you can deal with.
We already have the funding.
Look, we just need to get it completed and get it done. All right. Do we have a motion now on the floor?
Sure. You want me to do it?
Sure.
I move the Board of Supervisors approve the following carryover request of FY18. Unexpended budget lines from the listed departments to the FY19. Department budget lines as specified in the amount listed. A, cooperative extension contract services, $14,600. B, cooperative extension contract services, $4,300. C, E911 overtime pay, $6,000. D, E911 maintenance contracts, $8,000. E, E911 telecom, $5,000. F, E911 IT services, $7,000. G, fire and rescue, FNR capital, $175,000. H, Parks and Rec, site improvement, $4,000. I, Registrar's Office, ballots, $5,000. K, Sheriff's Office, convention and education, $8,000. L, Sheriff's Office, police supplies, $3,800.
Second.
With a total amount of $240,700 to be reappropriated to FY19.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0.
So every year, this is one of your longest discussions. So it means you're paying attention, you're passionate about it, and you have a lot of good discussion about it. Because every single year, you have a long discussion about carryover. I think that's good, but it's not like this is unusual. You do it every single year because you have a lot of discussion about it. It's good.
Who needs that half hour?
Yeah, I think certainly if you want to come up with some recommendations, but
not necessarily. We just want to make you aware of what your current policy is. It doesn't matter to staff if you decide you want to make a change that you think is useful for the citizens of Savannah County. That's fine.
Well, I don't think that our discussion hurt anything.
No, it's good.
I think it's good for us to sit down, and it makes it plain sight for everybody to see, anybody
absolutely
that listens to the meeting. T, Department of Forestry pole shed lease, Mr. Nichols.
So this is down at Carriagebrook, the facility that was down there, the big white old bus barn that was torn down. The Department of Forestry has asked for a couple of years to be able to put a steel-sided building there. I'll show you the picture if I can find it here. A steel-sided building there on that site. It's a benefit to the county. The equipment's already in the county, but it'll be stored in a better place and will continue to be available for county use. They're doing these kinds of agreements with counties all around the Commonwealth, and it isn't any cost to us, nor is it any really cost to them. They're gonna build the structure. They're just essentially leasing our land for that structure and access to that property, but we don't use that side of that parcel anyway, so should be no problem. Mr. Payne's office and my office and Mr. Stevens for months before that have vetted this back and forth with the DOF, and we're all in agreement on the terms that are listed in there. It took a while, but
let me say that it's not exactly the way I would want it, but it's close enough. And one thing that the Attorney General's office told me was that this is kind of an experiment, not the project, but this lease is kind of an experiment, and we're working through it. When it started off, it was pretty rough, but we managed to fix it so that it's an acceptable.
Already, thank you, sir.
But there's no money exchange.
That's correct.
They just
except the cost of trying to get this document ready for months.
Yeah. Right.
Legal fees, in other words.
Any questions? Staff time, maybe the whole thing. Just
any questions from the board?
No.
Can I have a motion?
I move that the board adopt the attached resolution authorizing the county to enter into a deed of lease with the Department of Forestry for a fire dozer transport garage pole shed at Carriagebrook, 8838 James Madison Highway, Work Union, and that the county administrator be authorized to execute such deed of lease on behalf of the county, subject to approval as to form by the county attorney.
Yeah. Have a second.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eager, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0.
U, resolution recommending appointment to the Board of Equalization. Mr. Nichols. Mr. Nichols.
Just a second, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, basically what this is going to be talking about is...
I'm not sure.
Is this for the last one?
No, this is a another formality with respect to this lease.
Absolutely.
This resolution.
Wasn't there a second motion with that one?
No. I don't think so.
Exactly.
Where was the cover sheet?
I'm not sure what you're asking for.
Super Mario.
They insist, the bottom of the motions are?
And they insist. No, they insist.
It's okay. Yeah. Mr. Constantino, when they decide to do a Disney on Ice for Mario.
This is the resolution.
You the main. I'm telling you right now. We're going to get you dressed in red.
That's what we asked. The three of their eyes, we asked that they had to put on for motions. That's why I sent it back to you guys. So we need another motion, Mr. Chair.
For the last one?
Yes. So just someone can just say, I move to adopt.
We lost one. Hang on a second.
Resolution as stated on the screen there, on this language right there. Because apparently we need a separate motion for that.
This is okay. This is a formality that
the
forestry needed.
Ms. E.
Move to adopt resolution entitled.
For lease of space to the Department of Forestry for a pool shed.
Second.
Motion's been made by Ms. Eager, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Trying to give him a second to see if we get him back. We're okay if I just do him an absence. Here.
Yes, I think.
Okay.
Well, what's on the sheet when you're printing? You have all five on one.
Yes.
We will hesitate.
Actually, you've got O'Brien absent on there right now. If you printed that one,
there we go.
No.
So,
right.
Is that what you got,
Mr. O'Brien? Do you vote aye?
Aye. No, we're not back yet.
I have a correction.
You have all five.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's
all five. Right. Opposed. Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you.
We're going to put this act on the road. All right.
Two shows a night.
B, Savannah County Building and Program Feasibility Study and Assessment, Ms. Dalton.
You have to go back to you, please, sir.
Oh, I'll skip one. Oh, yeah. Resolution recommending appointment to the Board of Equalization, Mr. Nichols.
This is just a formality, putting a formal resolution the appointment you made last week. And so just that motion to adopt that resolution, it says the same thing. But the resolution is required to go to the circuit court.
Do I have a motion?
I move the Board of Supervisors adopt a resolution entitled a resolution recommending appointment to the Board of Equalization.
We have a motion made by Ms. Eager and seconded by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Now we will move forward with the Louisiana County Building and Program Feasibility Study and Assessment. Ms. Tolman.
Good evening.
Please do that.
Good evening, dear.
Okay, the purpose of this study is to explore the options for renovating existing county facilities, repurposing external facilities, and or constructing a new building to consolidate county services and improve internal functionality and service to the public. Also, we'll gain valuable insight for CIP planning for coming years. Currently, in the county CIP, there's $21,860 set aside for a countywide building assessment. An additional $10,690 is being requested tonight from the BOS contingency to increase that CIP funding for this project.
The last time this was done was 1998, I believe, is when the last study was done, so it's 20 years ago. And some of those projects have been carried out, but not much of it happened.
Why are we doing it now?
Because we have to find some way to give the board a plan for the future on where you're going to put the people you're going to have, and what buildings are going to be in, what buildings you're going to replace, what buildings you're going to
build. Are we going to replace the buildings?
I sure hope so.
You do?
I do so.
Which ones are we going to replace?
All the ones on Main Street would be a great start, in my view. They're old houses, so little stores, but sooner or later, you're going to have to replace some of those buildings. I just want you to plan for it for the future.
I don't either. That's what I was thinking, the same thing.
That's fine. We're just giving a presentation. I'm going to tell you why we think you should do it, and you all decide, sir.
Well, let's hear why you think you should do it.
So CRA is the architect that was chosen under our architectural and engineering contracts, one of the four. They will survey existing facilities and give a condition assessment on each, including replacement timeline, potential costs for improvements. The facilities to be evaluated, you'll see there, courthouse, county administration, commissioner of revenue, treasurer, voter registrar, public works, commonwealth's attorney, library, social services, the sheriff's office, the Fork Union Community Center, and the school board. This total scope of work will include the assessment of the physical conditions of the buildings and systems. They'll evaluate the age, condition, and remaining life of the facilities and systems. They're also going to identify systems that will need repair, replacement, or upgrade. They'll review building code compliance, including ADA accessibility, maintenance recommendations on all of the buildings, operational and program recommendations, renovation and construction options. They'll give a scope of work and costs for all those recommendations and categorize and prioritize all of the recommendations for us. They will also come in and meet with staff and discuss with staff where the staff thinks, you know, the future's headed, what they need, what they don't. And from that, they'll draft their recommendations for the improvements and program realignments. Any questions?
Well, you have another $10,690 already going in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got bids from a number of different companies to do this building, countywide building assessment, not countywide because not all school buildings, but mostly most of the county facilities, to find out what their status is, what their maintenance requirements are, what their life safety issues are, what their replacement cost or time frame would be, and what options or recommendations are. The last time you had that done was 20 years ago. That study is no longer invalid. It does the recommendations in it. Some of them are implemented, some of them weren't. But we have changed and moved things around into different buildings vastly since then. The county staff does not have the time or the expertise to give you this information to show you where the future is with all the buildings you own. Sooner or later, you are going to, as a board, have to plan for how you're going to maintain, upgrade, replace, fix the buildings you've got. This will give you a roadmap for the next 8 or 10 or 12 or 15 years. Again, at that time, you're going to have to do another study. You're going to have to look at it again. We just don't have the staff time or expertise, but every couple decades at least, you're going to have to look at all your facilities to see what the plan is. Otherwise, the plan will come up and bite us in the butt when we haven't planned for it at all.
Well, the good part about the study is that you'll be able to look at it, like you said, for the next 10 years during your budget cycle. It'll tell you, you know, this really needs to be done in the next year, this really needs to be done in the next three. So it'll give you a roadmap for budgeting for the next several years. It's not something we have to sit down and start right when we get the report, but it'll be back in time for you to start looking at it for this next budget.
Well, I understand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just don't think we have the money to do much about it. Mm-hmm. So is it better to do the study now or when we can do something about it?
The one thing, too, that the board should take into consideration, so we've been putting this $11 million admin building kind of in the CIP for years, $11 million, $10 million, whatever it is. This is also another way to determine, is that the road that we need to go to? Is this new admin building maybe not the end meet? Get rid of that, maybe it's doing an expansion of another building. This firm talked about that they also look at repurposing of existing buildings. I think there was one about the county south of here that when they were looking, they had some county buildings that they needed to expand. So instead of building a brand new building, they looked at existing inventory of buildings that were in the county. So instead of, you know, doing a whole brand new build, an $11 million building, they're able to purchase like a three or four million dollar older building, and they're able to
repurpose it
for another $3-4 million. So it ended up being like, you know, $3 million less than what they're anticipating. So this is just kind of the roadmap to see what's out there, what we need, what our growth patterns are going to look like, and gives us a better plan.
And another rationale is that remember, the sheriff's office, when it was built, was absolutely 100% built inadequate for the needs of the sheriff's office at that time.
And this building.
Okay. And this building. This building already has absolutely zero space whatsoever for any additional staff, closet space. We can't even store this TV in this building. We have to carry it physically back to our building every time. So because these buildings were built that way, that sheriff's office is going to need space sooner or later because the bailiffs are going to be squeezed out of here. So one of the rationale would be to put all the court functions in the adjacent building. Commonwealth's attorney, bailiffs, investigators, victim witness, the parole folks, the all those court services in that building, so they'd be adjacent to the court. But I don't know how to explain any better that we don't have the ability to plan for your future of the buildings that you own. And the future of the buildings you own is a complete mystery right now because we don't know. What do we need to do 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now?
It depends a lot on the growth of the county. Where we're at.
Well, yes, except that if you keep your staff...
Expansion, but we're right in the middle of a water and sewer project, two projects.
Mm-hmm.
The federal government, what is that they are going to mandate in 2 years on the communications? What was that that they...
Generation 911?
We have mandates in front of us,
mm-hmm.
and here we go looking at the potential of building other buildings and all. And I hear enough complaints from citizens about where we are and the money we've already spent. So, you know, I just.
What did the report 20 years ago suggest?
Building a consolidated building at Pleasant Grove at the Sheriff's Complex.
20 years ago?
Yes.
Okay, because I've heard that before, but I thought it was most recent.
Hmm.
So they probably will come back
and
say the same thing.
And what they would do would be combine everything.
Well, our suggestion, if you went that way, would be to look at the school board office at the same time, because you could have school board, county administration, and a central auditorium for these kind of meetings to do this stuff. They've got one over there now. You wouldn't use the courthouse. The courthouse is better now because we're not plugging in all their electronics all the time now. But that's been one of the discussions. There's been discussion about renovating the basement of our building. I have one mm-hmm. empty space, one empty office in the entire county that I know of. One empty office. The one across from mine. Yep. One empty office. And that won't stay that way forever. Things are going to change. So I just hate not knowing where you want us to head, and I can't ask you where you want us to head until I show you alternatives and options. And I can't show you alternatives and options because we don't have the staff time or the expertise to do that. And I understand it's money, and I definitely don't want to take on another building project tomorrow, but this is not meant to make decide tomorrow.
For a couple of years, hasn't it?
It's been going on in 7 years that I've been here, sir. Every year I've brought it up and talked about it. Mr. Stevens has talked about it.
And we've made it through pretty well, haven't we, of these last 7 years?
I think it's real important that we do know where we're heading, and we need to know, because that list of things she said there wasn't only about building buildings.
No.
It's talking about evaluating age, condition, the life of the facility, whether there's something we need to upgrade. It's not saying we have to go out and build a $30 million building. There's a lot of good information in there about the existing buildings and conditions that we have now. And I don't know why you would not want to know that. With my home, I want to know once in a while, what do I have to improve in my house, in my air conditioning system, and et cetera. It doesn't mean I have to replace the air conditioners today or tomorrow or whatever. So I think it's good, and I think we can't sit here with blinders on and don't think that we are going to need these kind of things in order to make decisions. And, you know,
we're going to need these things, Ms. Brooks. One thing that I'm sitting here going is we have to prioritize where we're going to spend our money, because we're getting pretty much strapped now.
Yeah, but we're not talking about it. That's what they're talking about. You're questioning the money that we're going to spend to do this. That's your question.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the need of these things right here. I'm not saying, you know, I wasn't talking about the 31,000. It costs 31,000 to get the information right there, and we can see our future and what condition our buildings are in. I think it's worth it. That's just my little opinion. Because that's what we do all the time, is we push things back. We keep pushing them back.
We keep spending more money, Moselle.
I know,
and we're in big debt
money.
Now.
Yes.
To, you know, if you get your foot in the door, and before long, you know, you have another building project.
Yeah, but the thing is, these buildings right here can get in a condition that is unsafe 5 to 10 years, and then you got to spend more than 30-some thousand. But if you spend the money and see where the needs are and the things that you
can do. Well, we've been spending money to renovate these buildings.
I can't rationalize. I mean, I'm finished. I'm saying, I've said what I'm saying. And if you don't see it, that's fine. It's just my opinion.
Yes, ma'am.
You know? So.
Well, there's a certain amount of expertise that our Public Works Department has and, you know, can provide recommendations, but a second set of eyes doesn't seem necessarily like a bad idea. Whether we do that this year or we do it 2 years from now, I don't know. But I'm looking at the total scope of works, and you know, most of those things are, as staff has mentioned, you know, a roadmap that provides guidance for the board. Let's say one of the buildings is, discovered that there's a crack in it that's, you know, going to result in catastrophic failure in 5 years if it's not addressed. Maybe that wasn't identified by Public Works at this point in time. You know, if in fact they can accomplish, and I would say that's a pretty aggressive list of scope of work for the fee that they're being paid. But if they can accomplish and generate a good report, you know, that will help the board in making decisions. And I don't think that decision necessarily means that they're buying a new building or building a new building. But it means that we have a sense as to what our options are. So when Mr. Nichols or when Public Works Department has to hire two or three new people to address the water system, we're not sitting there scratching our heads saying, where are we going to put these guys right now? And then we have people doubling up from that standpoint. So I'm on the fence about it, but I don't think it's a bad idea. I don't think that we'll get bad information from it.
I think it's a good idea, but I think the timing is bad.
One thing that gets me about the timing, uh-huh. We know we're going to be hiring new employees,
yes,
when we get the water project done.
Absolutely.
And if we do this now, then we've got it done before the water project gets finished. Now, that's my one. My second fear is they come in here and say, okay, these three buildings are no longer functionable. We have to build new buildings. And all of a sudden,
I would really like to know that before we have a catastrophic failure. Not that we're going to.
That's my biggest fear.
Remember the chimney at the building we bought on Main Street, where the Commonwealth's attorney is? That whole back wall was falling off that facility.
I remember.
Yeah, we knew that, and that had been coming on for years.
Yes, but it was a rental building. Then we went and bought it.
Well, you can see it. So you didn't need a study to tell you that you need to replace that. Well,
Mr. Weaver, I can absolutely assure you that there is no one on staff that has expertise to do the kind of work these guys do, because it is much more complicated than just seeing a chimney leaning or
well. Well, then you get somebody in with the expertise to do it.
Right. No, I understand. That's what this is
right.
About.
And
I'm not.
We already have 21,000 that we agreed to this last year.
Mm-hmm. No, 3 years, 4 years ago. It was a project that we started several years ago when we were doing some in-house building assessments, mini ones. I think it was 25,000 against it.
25. Yeah. So we've already used $3,140. All right. And you're just asking for an additional $10,000.
I'm asking you to consider it. If you all decide you don't want to do this now and you want us to wait, then we'll put it off. But
so
we're proposing.
The $21,000 is already set aside.
No, it was in the budget. That it says so right
so
here.
So we're only asking for $10,000.
Only asking for. Well, you're asking for $30,000. I mean, you're spending $30,000.
You're spending $30,000.
But the $21,000 is already set aside.
Already agreed to be spent.
Well, it was put in the budget.
Right. Into the CPI.
No disagreement on that. Yeah, there's no.
That's my biggest fear is that we have something. $30,000 would be a lot less, and if we have something that we are not compliant with,
and well, you can always rationalize
somebody would get hurt. That would cost us a lot. All right. Thank you. Any other questions? Alrighty. We have no other questions. Do we have a motion?
I move the Board of Supervisors approve a supplemental appropriation of $10,690 from the BOS contingency budget to the CIP project budget for the countywide building assessment to increase the funds necessary for Project Agreement 1.
Second.
We have a motion made by Ms. Booker and seconded by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Opposed?
Aye.
The chair votes aye. Motion passes 4-1. Do we have motion number 2?
I move the Board of Supervisors to approve Project Agreement 1 between Savannah County and Crabtree Robock and Associates to complete the Savannah County building and program feasibility study and assessment totaling $32,550 and further authorize the county administrator to execute the agreements subject to approval as to form by the county attorney.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Booker and seconded by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 4-1.
And when we get the series of meetings started to set up, we'll let you all know. So if you want to participate in the meetings, you'll be able to come in and participate in those too, in the discussions with the contractors and with staff on various different buildings.
That's going to be very interesting.
And then when they're doing
we'll
this, to send in all those.
We'll let all of you know when those dates and times are, so that if you want to participate, you can.
Yes, sir.
And now, good news.
All right, let's go with no appointments.
I have good news.
Hang on. Don't get ahead. We're on presentation, sir. Now we'll move forward. Presentations, tab W. VPSA Series 2012 escrow earnings. Mr. Dahl.
So I have news where you don't have to spend money, where you can get money. Okay, so we're talking about the VPSA Series 2012D escrow earnings. So if you remember 2 years ago, it's kind of when it started, it was brought to the board that we kind of had a unique circumstance when the high school bonds were advanced refunded, that we had a period of 90 to 100 days of you know, close to $57 million that was not being invested. And it just worked out when they advanced refunded those original high school bonds. This is a very rare circumstance, the way that it happens. Dealing with VPSA on the whole circumstance too, this is rare in their kind of sense of the word of it. But anyway, it was discussed way back then about doing an escrow float agreement. We talked about that, which was basically we could give up our opportunity for an investment provider to invest those dollars at you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, and then we were looking at netting about $75,000 at that point, at the current point. Or the other option was to wait later and either have VPSA invest those funds in slugs, which is state and local government securities, if that window was open. So again, the option was to either do the escrow agreement, escrow float agreement, or wait for a later point and hope that the rates in the market improve and have VPSA invest in slugs at a later point. So the later point came. We came to August 2018, and VPSA did invest those dollars, the 54, almost 55 million and 2.2 million in some things. So just from the last thing, and just to kind of show you when we were talking about, so up to the black here, the March 15, 2017, that's when we did this presentation. The slugs window closed, and then there was another closure, but thankfully when VPSA had the opportunity to invest the funds, the slugs window was not closed. This was just kind of a chart that I showed you way back then, comparing what was going to happen if we did the float agreement, what was going to happen if we did the slugs agreement. Kind of right in this area was the 74,000, what we were going to net at this point. And back at that point, we were looking at if we were going to pull the trigger at that point, and investing in slugs at that point was an option, we were going to gain about 116. That was when rates were about 0.8%, 0.7%. Well, we also showed you if rates increased to 100% of that. Well, we were fortunate rates did better than that. So this is the projected slash actual results. Actual results won't be until December 1, but we've got indication from bond counsel, our financial advisors, and VPSA through some wrangling we had to go through to get this money. And I'll explore.
Mr. Dahl.
Mr. Dahl
fought hard because this does not happen very often.
Wow.
VPSA told us they were keeping
the money. They said they were going to keep the
300. What do you mean keeping it?
They were keeping it because there's no normal provision for that to come back, because they just normally don't do this. This was a big, rare exception, and he argued and argued, got our bond counsel involved, and they finally got the head shed of VPSA to agree with
they
us.
They got the Assistant Secretary of Treasurer for the state involved in the well.
They were not planning on refunding the money at all.
Wow.
But how would they get away with that?
Because it was legally allowed.
Because there was a provision of the bond documents.
He jumped in.
Yeah.
So here's what VPSA did. They invested the 54.9 million, and the fixed rate was 2.808% for 100 days, and the earnings on that was 317,000. Then we also had this 2.2 million, which was invested at 2.20% for 65 days for $8,000. Total revenue was 325,000. Total cost, which was for VPSA, VPSA bond counsel, VPSA financial advisor, 13,000. So we're going to a net 311,000 in fiscal year 19.
We think that's the exact number.
It's very close to that. So the escrow proceeds will be dispersed December 1. One thing that we said was, just to kind of throw them a bone, that because first of all, they were saying, VPSA was saying that they were going to keep these investment earnings. And once we looked at the bond documents and how the bond documents were written, and then we got our bond counsel involved and got on with VPSA and the Assistant Secretary Treasurer, it was later determined that these investment earnings are investment earnings of the counties, not VPSA.
How could we get involved in something in which...
Because
they would be allowed to take the earnings at the end of the period.
Because this is such a rare circumstance that
why would we do it though? I mean, why would I want to get a bond and then they can take it away from me at the end? I wouldn't want to get a bond.
There won't be any gaps in that earning period.
I have an option to do this, but there was a gap in this refunding, and so the money was just essentially sitting
that
there.
That was left over. Oh,
it's a circumstance that happens so rarely in this case that VPSA just wasn't even sure. The initial person he talked to just thought, no, that's VPA keeps that stuff. Mm-hmm. We didn't agree with that, and that's why we are.
So they kept the 311,000?
Yes.
That's what he wanted to do. That's what the first initial from VPSA, yes.
Wow.
So their bond documents didn't really contemplate this circumstance. I mean, it's very rare. It doesn't happen like this, but the board made a good decision a year and a half ago to not go with the float agreement. What's that?
We were leaning towards the. You all were pushing to let's kind of wait and see. This is great.
Yeah. So
we get the credit.
Yes.
Yeah. So the 311,000 is going to.
We get a raise now.
I think you should fire. I think you should fire everybody that didn't
afford it.
So this is coming to the county, and they're going to apply it towards our VPSA payment for the high school bond that's coming due in January 15th. So I think our bond payment's around $1.1 million. So instead of paying 1.1, we'll pay 800 some thousand in fiscal year 19.
In this fiscal year's budget.
So then at the end of this year, we'll end up with 300,000 in unexpended proceeds.
How long did it take you to wrangle with them to get them to come?
We had 5 million total originally.
What's up?
We had 5 million a year on the
bond. No, this is just one debt, sir.
Yes.
This is just one bond.
Oh, okay.
There's a whole series of bonds, and when you add those up, it's 5 or 6 million.
It's a little below that, and what happens now, we have this one piece that's going to fall away after this disperses, and then we're just going to have one debt payment.
Right, but I think we're...
But the payment's still the same.
Principal is about something like 2.6 or 2.7. I think the principal and the rest of it is...
That sounds about correct.
Yeah. It's heading in the right direction, though.
So we owe 57.1 million left. Is that what
on this bond, that's what was there.
But the total debt we have is around 100 million. Is it?
Yes, sir.
Yes. On everything the county has, yes.
This is not the entire high school debt. There's more pieces to this. This was that one series of bonds. So.
Eric and I spoke this morning, and I just want to share this with you. I thought that we had to invest with VPSA, but we don't. You could buy 6 months T-bills.
Oh, you're thinking of VIP. That's different.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's about the VIP, the treasurer's earnings.
That's in your bank? The treasurer has, so like on the report that was in your package this time, the treasurer's report, that money goes into the VIP. We don't use the 1 to 3 short-term money anymore, but it goes into the Virginia Investment Pool, and there's a whole frame of options.
Yeah, but this is specific to the VPSA bond proceeds, and like I said, we had a gap. The funds were invested. We saw good earnings on it, and we wrangled to make sure that the earnings were coming to the county.
How much do we keep in there for... expenses, payouts? I mean, what do we ordinarily run, like maybe 3 million or 4 million that we're really not getting much on, that we're making these payments on?
That's a very complicated question that has an answer that's a mile long, because this is just one series of bonds.
The aberrations in it is what you're saying.
Are you talking about our liquid funds, or are you talking
about the administrative cost of all of our debt and bonds and stuff?
I think he's talking about our liquid assets, like county funds, not the bond proceeds.
Yeah, county funds.
You mean the stuff the treasurer has?
Yes.
Bank?
Yes. And what's not really drawing anything to any extent?
It's on your report.
Yeah.
I'll pull it up and show you, but it's in your package. That's the report you get all the time.
So no action on
much is in the first column.
So no action needed on this. County's getting money, you don't have to spend money.
Now whether a county can do it, with those funds that you have, banks will pay you, even if you have a checking account, they will pay you a smaller amount.
So we get...
Because you don't want to put it in any...
Mr. Weaver, the two things that have to happen is the finance board has to authorize it, okay? That's who has to do it. And the finance board can direct the treasurer to invest in the way the finance board wants. And the finance board can take its guidance from the board. But the finance board can only recommend, and the treasurer can only do what is allowed by state law.
Absolutely.
So on this sheet here, the first column, the green column, is the ongoing day-to-day expenses. You can see it goes from 10 million to 6 million to 1 million to 5 million.
And
that's the stuff you're not going to get much money off of.
That's
your liquid checking account.
She gets a small amount of interest.
You could get a smaller amount.
She does.
The smaller amount.
For sure.
But you could get in a similar checking account, withdraw, and whatever the residue is left, that continues to drop.
Mr. Weaver, whatever is in this account that is excess to needs over the coming month or the coming 2 months is pulled out and put in the investment accounts. They move money all the time.
I think you're doing a good job. Don't misunderstand.
Well, if you slide down, you can see where earnings are getting better, because more money is being held in the stable account. So you can see in June, July, August, right here, these are the earnings that we're seeing that month on the money that we have in there.
Yeah, there was $11 million in the VIP account that month and only $1 million in the checking account. But then you've got payroll expenses to pay and this and that, and you know you're going to get a big bolus of cash in December because you're getting tax revenues. So you watch that when it comes in. And we have, this is all graphed, and Eric's got a graph too. Any money that can be pulled out of the lowest interest-bearing accounts, the local checking accounts, gets moved to the investment accounts. And the finance board then decides which investments that goes in, as long as it's legal by state law, because then the treasurer has to move to those.
And there's three on that board, right? There's
yes,
three
sir.
On
yes.
That.
Mr. Garcia, Ms. Lenhart, myself.
And that's by state code, a citizen, the chair, and the treasurer.
Now, if you wanted to take money out of the VIP funds,
yep.
That's not a problem?
No, that's not, yeah, I mean, so as long as it's in the stable's liquid, she can transfer funds out daily. If it's in the 1 to 3 year, the 1 to 3, she can only do that twice a month, I think on the 15th and the 1st. Now, we already have something set up through eConnect Direct, which will allow the treasurer and the finance board to set up more of a tiered, maybe CD strategy or something like that, where they could take, you know, $1 million and invest it for 6 months and, you know, just maybe do different types of maturity dates. So it's I'm sure that's probably allowable.
Who's going to do that?
Uh-huh.
You should ask my dad.
Who's going to do that, ma'am?
You mean monitor it?
No, who's going to do the trades and do the selling and do the buying? Who's going to do that?
So we could.
Who's?
Yeah.
Okay, I need a realistic answer. Who's going to do that? It has to be someone that's funded and paid for by the county, a staff member. We can't have just a citizen doing trades with dollars. That's not legal. Okay. But. I think it's a great idea. I'm just suggesting that we have to figure out who's going to do it, because the current expertise is not in the treasurer's office, and we'd have to try to support that. But that kind of discussion can go on with the finance board anytime. It's the months I worry about, like this month here, we had $11 million in the VIP pool on that month in August. Well, if we put $5 million of that into another thing, you've got to be able to get it quick, because we went down to $3 million because we had to pull money out of it to put back to pay the bills and things. So, yes, you can definitely move it as long as that investment is legal by state code. And I'm not sure which ones are. Ms. Lennon would have to tell you that. But again, we'd have to have somebody that either a financial advisor that does that or somebody that manages that and tracks it day to day. Going to the VIP pool and back is real simple.
In addition,
like our your checking account, your savings account.
Looks to me like it'd be worth almost hiring someone. They would more than make their salary back to do this movement.
We do. It's called the treasurer.
Well, and Mr. Garcia has tried to work with her.
And he has. I mean, they are. You can see that.
Has it gotten better?
Yeah, you can. I mean, you can see it's gotten better.
Sure.
I'm not sure.
It's very restricted, the funds that you
it is. I mean, so
government bonds, T-bills may be one of them. The differential between the T-bill and the 3-year fund may be very nominal. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, the 1 to 3 fund is terrible right now.
Yeah.
We're losing money in that, so
yeah.
We were back
you can
to
see where it's in parentheses.
In addition, the county also has an investment policy, and our investment policy is more restrictive, if I remember correctly, than the state's investment policy, too.
Now, there's the ones you put in place in 2008 before
yes.
The school financing.
So there's certain types of investments that, per our policy, are not allowable.
Yeah. Eric may know, but I have no clue about investing in this kind of stuff, of what's legal, not legal by state. That's a treasurer's responsibility and or finance board. But it is an important and a good question and a good discussion to have.
Sure,
but it'll probably have to be asked of the treasurer and or finance board or a financial expert that we you know, are.
You can hire one just temporarily, couldn't you?
Oh, sure, you can get somebody to come in and do advice like that.
Wouldn't that be helpful to you sometimes?
Well, so
yes,
the.
And that's what Mr.
Garcia.
He's actually a registered investment advisor, so he's pretty savvy about the different
but
types
the
of
government's investment knows different
yeah,
than.
And,
private investors.
And see, the finance board meetings, unless they go into closed session, are open meetings to the public. Yeah. So your husband or yourself can sit in those meetings any time. But again, the bottom line is the investments have to meet state code requirements.
And you'll start seeing, too, that the treasurer, I mean, starting coming this month, as we start building up our regular account, she's going to start funneling more money into the stable account, and you'll see right here where we were back at $13 million, where we had like $20,000 a month in interest earnings. You know, you get down here to November, December, you're going to see that $9,000 going up to, you know, $10,000, $11,000, $12,000, $15,000, $20,000 a month. It's going to creep back up. So she's just working with the funds based upon, you know, it's a cyclical cycle every year.
Twice a year, are in the $20 million range, and you can move a lot of that to someplace else for temporary interest earning, and that's what she's been.
And the one thing she's going to be working with Mr. Garcia too. I mean, in addition to just putting it into the stable account, she had already talked about with Mr. Garcia about doing the eConnect Direct and putting certain amounts into some, you know, 6 month CDs or things of that nature. So we're making sure that we're getting the best earnings on the money that we have out there. So
I think it's a good idea if someone would write an article, put it in the newspaper, let the public know how well that you all are managing, how well you're managing your money.
And accept credit cards.
We're still working towards that. Well, thank you for the good news, Mr. Dahl. We do appreciate it. Anybody else?
I was going to say, I think it is important to recognize Mr. Eager, who helped participate in guiding the board, if you would, in the decision to not go into the pool. So I'd just like to recognize him. It was maybe the one time he and I were 100% agreement.
Absolutely.
And the wedding will be in 2 weeks. So.
That's right.
All right. Next up is the consent agenda. Are there any items that need to be pulled? Oh, excuse me. Let me read it first. XYZ, minutes of October 17, 2018. A, minutes of November 7, 2018. B, revision to policy 2.19, business and travel expenses. C, accounts payable, October 2018. D, FY19, library state aid supplemental appropriation. E, open space contract, Hughes, Andrew M. Sheridan. F, open space contract, McKee, Andrew M. Sheridan. Open space contract, Payne, Andrew M. Sheridan. H, open space contract, Rittenhouse, Mr. Sheridan. I, open space contract renewal, Dawson, Mr. Sheridan. J, open space contract renewal, Dickey, Mr. Sheridan. K, open space contract renewal, Groves, Mr. Sheridan. L, position description update, Assistant Public Works Director, Ms. Rice. M, position description engineering project manager, Ms. Rice. Is there anything we need to pull?
You know I won't let you down.
I got ready to say that when I saw you opening up your book. I got ready to say, Mr. Dahl, come on up.
Let me get there.
No, on tab C on page 320, they don't have numbers on there. I noticed this time.
Oh, you know, Mr. I apologize. We have someone new, and as we're
So we can cope with it. We're all right.
If you just tell me what department, the major header, I can try.
American Pet Resources.
American Pet.
I wondered what that was.
FSPCA, I'm guessing.
Sheriff's Office.
Yeah.
Dog boarding.
$260.
I believe that was some ACO equipment.
It says pet boarding.
It's pet. It's taking care of pets.
Oh, that's probably what we paid monthly for them to be put up as SPCA.
No, not if this wasn't the SPCA.
Which line is
American Pet Resources, page 320.
It's under the sheriff, page 320.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, we don't do any pet boarding, so it hadn't been.
It says American Pet.
American Pet Resort, so we probably sent them to Hawaii.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. We've got some veterinary bills, but I don't remember them using that file.
That's what's here.
Could you check with your record?
I'll check in the invoice.
I know we've had some veterinarians.
Let me write that down. That one.
I'll recognize the name of that business.
How much was it?
$1,260.
It's not go pet, up. Pet boarding, it's go dog up. Boarding.
It's on the next page. The one page note.
Page 320.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't have those numbers, Mr. Weaver. I'm sorry. That's on the package that was produced for you all.
American Town
Boarding, so I can't pull that. I don't see it.
It's one page ahead.
Back, forward.
No, you're going the wrong direction. Keep on. Keep on.
Shelter
keep on, keep on. Right there.
Okay.
American Pet Resort.
Dog boarding contract services, American Pet. Oh, I'm sorry. That was for when we were redoing all the floors in the SPCA. The state says the state inspectors, when they come in, the state vet comes to do inspections.
Oh, yeah, take the dogs.
There are different things they have to do to maintain the shelter.
So you had to take them out and put them someplace else.
Right.
Yeah.
We were redoing the floors, and there weren't enough spaces in the shelter because we were doing one wing at a time and moving pets. So they were storing pets at another place, and that was supposed to be $3,600. They gave them a huge discount, and that's the cost we paid to move those pets out for that time. Sorry.
Why is it under the sheriff?
All those dogs.
No, we moved them because Mr. Stevens had a contractor come in and do the floors, that like the new epoxy floors.
That's the other question I had here. The for the flooring was $7,865 and then $17,009 with a total of $24,955 for the flooring.
It's not done yet either, so sorry. That epoxy flooring and all the back runs is done now, but they still have to finish the front offices, and so, but it's a special coating where they have to take the concrete down to bare, and it's a special epoxy coating that's supposed to be water resistant and poop resistant and animals. And it's required by the state; it has to be sealed. We don't have a choice.
And that was, I assume, in the budget that figure.
No, you appropriated $45,000. Out of the CRM, regular capital reserve funds in there earlier for Mr. Stevens and his staff to build a contract for that to get it in. I think it was 45K. Was it moved over, wasn't it? Right? No. It's 45.
Yeah, I just thought that was.
Yeah, it is expensive, but that
and everything else.
That floor is terribly hard to maintain and legally required.
And how often will you have to do that?
Well,
and the
2 weeks after it happened.
Uh-huh.
It was already peeling off the where it goes up the wall. It was already peeling off. We think it's because they just didn't apply it the correct way on the walls. Uh-huh. The floor is done okay. It's holding up. So it may be
several years, Wayne?
Two or three maybe years?
Several years?
Ten, he says.
10 years?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well, that's what he says, but I don't know. All I know is it's required.
Page 326 Pleasant Grove. I was sort of curious about all those entries on electricity. There's six entries, and some of them are just pennies. What kind of is going on that page with all those?
We'll get back to the answer. I don't know, sir.
We have about 30 electric Pleasant Grove.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
45 cents, 78 cents.
Yeah. I just, it seems like extra work to.
So they're separate accounts, and we used to have it bundled up, but the board asked to see more detail, so we're showing the detail. But if it's a separate invoice, it's either one or the other. Either
you
we
get
should
get invoice for 25
yes.
cents or
yes.
60
we got,
cents.
Yes,
we I just met with staff in Public Works yesterday and Friday. Some of the bills that we're getting 35 sheets.
Yeah,
there is no reason whatsoever why we need 35 sheets. We may need 35 lines on one sheet, but we're working with the contractors to try to get them to convert to one document with different lines so we can then code it. Mr. Stevens has already got a number of those contractors to do that. The old Cintas one, the uniforms where they clean uniforms and provide the uniforms for public works staff, that used to be all separate bills. Now they're at least one bill that comes in together, but broken out in different sections for FUSD, for public works staff, for this section, for this section. We're working to try to get those bills into some manageable form. It's nonsense the way they are now. Even supply room, the supplies come in. They don't need to come in on a separate sheet of paper every time, but that's what they're doing now. we need to get them to consolidate it. As long as it's broken out on lines on the bill,
right,
we can code it the correct
sure
way.
Yeah.
So.
Very good. Okay, I'm ready to make a motion if you're ready.
I'm ready for it.
Okay, Mr. Chair. I move the accounts payable and payroll be ratified for October 2018 in the amount of $2,122,631.04.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Got a motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Is there any unfinished business?
Is there anything that needs to be discussed?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Payne has something to say.
The motion was the motion intended to be for the entire consent agenda?
Yes.
Oh, because it was only stated as applying to the accounts payable.
Oh, that's the consent agenda motion.
I'm sorry, the list.
And I move the accounts payable and payroll be ratified for October 5th, the amount of $2,122,631.04, which includes the consent agenda.
Okay.
The motion is intended to include the entire consent agenda.
Yes. That's
okay.
What
so let the record state, please.
Put words in my mouth.
He's good at that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a second?
I second.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passed 5-0. Sorry about that, Mr. Payne. Unfinished business.
I
saw you reaching for your book, man.
We'll sit down with you and come back and go get you the formal policy. It's already written. It's on our website. And every one of those cases we can address. But I can't do it on the fly right now.
No, I tried to answer her question because...
Well, just call me.
Ms. Eager,
I can tell the answer.
Ms. Eager,
she can give it to you.
Yeah.
Sure.
When they came out with it, because I... Well,
you push
anyway. They came out with it. They said they would charge the insurance part of it. But then they would soft bill. If a person cannot pay or does not pay, we're not going to chase them down. We're not going to take them to court.
Right.
But if they write the check, then we take it.
Yeah. Okay. A former rescue squad member doesn't count. Current rescue squad or fire department or sheriff's deputies count, and we don't charge the extra costs for them up beyond what insurance is. But we have a very simple, easy process for people to go through. And we'll pull the stuff up and give you kind of the bullet story.
I just want to tell her what it
sure.
If
someone's a current,
have her call Mr. Dunn.
If they're a life member also, they probably should.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
But they can follow
Yeah, the form that we asked you to fill out, we ask what status they are. If they're asking for a hardship too, we also ask if their status is there an active family member in the household that is an active fire, rescue, police, I think is what the form says.
Well, it's not in the household if they are. Well,
I thought it said, well.
No, you're right, it is in the household.
Yeah, well, in any case, we'll get you the full story. But if you, I'll just show you here quick. If you go to...
Basically, if they have insurance, we charge insurance. If there's a remaining balance or they don't have insurance, then it comes back to them to pay. If they are unable to pay, then they can file a hardship to whether it's income-related, whether they're a volunteer, and then there will be a determination that whatever payments remaining will go away. But the county is not doing hard collection. Mm-hmm. It's not individuals that collect for passing balance.
So you can see on the screen here, this is the EMS cost recovery program page on the county website.
Okay.
The highest it's charged right now is for an ambulance, an ALS-2 level of ambulance transport. That's the highest level. And the current charge is 125% of the Medicare allowable. Current charge is $787. Normally, insurance would take care of a big chunk of that if the person has insurance. Whatever's left of that would be balance billed. If the person has a hardship paying that balance bill, in almost every case, they get approvals for that if they've got any demonstrated hardship. So we would definitely love to talk to the person. We can solve it in 2 minutes. We only have onesies and twosies now, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, so Tori Melton in my department, she handles all the hardships and
she'd be happy to walk, walk her through it.
Yeah. But anyway, connect the person with us or we can give you the policy, but it's right there. So even on this form where it says they want to know, is there a household member who is fire, rescue, or law enforcement currently volunteering or in or employed by Fluvanna County? And then they check that. That's another reason to waive the balance billing on it.
Hang on a second.
That doesn't say
anything. Doesn't say anything about life member.
Yeah.
Somebody that served more than 10
life
years.
Life members have been, because life members kind of considered current.
Okay. All right.
But then it should be in there.
No,
it falls under current.
They're current, right. Yeah, if someone volunteered with the Kent Store fire 12 years ago and moved out of the county and moved back to the county, he's not volunteering with them now and he's not a life member, they're not current. But a life member is still current.
Life members have gotten hardships waived.
So in any case, there's always nuances, especially when it comes to healthcare things. There's always nuances. But if you've got any citizens that ever have any questions or any complications, either get them to myself or to Mr. Dahl. We'll get it solved quick and let you know what the resolution on it is. I wouldn't try to memorize the rules on these things. It is way too complicated. I have to go look each time, unless you do it every day. But just connect them to us, and we'll let you and that person know what the status is.
Okay.
Because we want to make sure that you know it, but also that they're taking care of it.
That's happened a couple times with me with
sure.
kids that were at school. And,
yeah,
and
pushing us, and we don't take care of it.
Whoever needs to be in office.
Right, absolutely. It's a pretty easy thing, but we want to hear from you for sure if you hear that thing from citizens.
It's working out pretty well, isn't it, the system that we
there have been
here.
Almost no complaints in the 4 years we've done this.
Except 6 months.
Except what?
Except the first six
Yeah, the
months.
First few months there was a few, but there since then there have been, I don't know.
They don't say things to y'all, but they'll say things to us every once in a while.
Well, anytime somebody's going to have to pay a bill, they're not going to like it.
Multiple times, and they're getting bills, then they'll say something. I imagine you probably heard something, Mr. Chief.
If what's the alternative?
What do you mean?
What's the alternative? I mean, if they move to another county, they're going to pay for an ambulance.
I'm not saying there's an alternative.
No,
I'm just saying there have been some.
Oh, I agree, sir. And if you have anything you want us to look at, we'll allow you to dig into
it. I've sent them to this.
Right.
Yeah, but the only other alternative we could do is not send somebody to build up. And we talked, that was one of the options.
You cannot do that.
I thought that was one of the options we were given.
You cannot do
that.
In
the beginning.
It violates Medicare rule law. You cannot do that. You have to balance bill. You don't have the authority not to. And you have the authority to make a reasonable attempt to collect or demonstrate a hardship, but you cannot not balance bill.
Okay. I thought that was one of the alternatives.
If you're going to accept Medicare reimbursement, you have to follow Medicare rules and you have to balance bill.
I don't claim to be a healthcare.
No, and I'm not either, even up to speed on stuff, but I just know that's law and that's why it has to be that way. And we don't want to go after people. We're not going after anybody. People that can afford it have been paid. Those that can't, we've been very reasonable on it. But we have to at least demonstrate that but to come into compliance with federal law.
So,
no.
Land.
No.
We've never put a lien
the contract
paycheck.
The company to come.
We've never done. No, it doesn't go to a collection agent. There's no lien on it. There's no. We've not done any garnishing wages and none of that stuff. If they've got any of that, it's something totally different, not for a bill we sent them.
They may receive one bill, they may receive a follow-up bill, but it's not like, you know, final notice, we're sending the collection agencies after you.
Yeah, we tell them what to put on those bills, what the language is, our billing company. But yeah, unfortunately, Mr. Sheridan, we don't have a choice in that.
I was wrong because I thought at the beginning when we first talked about it, there was one that we could do where we did not.
Everybody
agreed on the soft billing because of that nature.
Everybody wanted to do that, but you can't legally do that. You have to at least make an attempt to collect if you're going to accept Medicare reimbursement.
Okay. Does that help, Ms. Eager?
Yes, thank you.
We'll go ahead and help them.
I would like to ask the board to, Joe Shaver, who's heavily involved with Virginia 2021, has asked to make a presentation to the board to update it on the progress of the Virginia 2021 efforts. To address redistricting and gerrymandering. There's a lot of changes in there. constitutional amendments that have been presented. Of course, it's a timely issue because 2021 is right around the corner. So he asked me if I would ask the board to have him present, and I think that would be in the interest of the board from that standpoint. So I'd like to ask that that be put on the next agenda.
What do you think?
It's fine. I work
20
at the
post
every time.
Yeah, I don't have any
problem.
Yeah.
No problem.
Okay. As long as he's presenting, that's fine.
Yeah.
Ms. Eager?
It's fine.
Okay. So we'll get him on the board on the agenda sometime. Until we get in touch with
him. Yeah, you know, the report that David Blanc sent us, email, was that today? Didn't he send it to us today this afternoon? Dave Blanc. From sent us a legislator's update because he talked about a lot of things going with CSA.
Oh, yeah, he did send that.
Yeah, it was very.
We brought up some stuff, and that was one of the big topics that was down at. They actually at VACO had several of the speakers coming in and talking about CSA.
Yeah, they were talking about getting more resources. They were talking about autism, and it was really interesting the. Percentage of kids who are needing autistic service over the years. He gave statistics about that special ed. And so if you get a chance, read it. They're working on it and trying to get some more resources.
What did you say about the 2021 board?
I'll let Joe's going to get in touch with you and see what it suits him. We'll get him on an agenda. All righty. If no other new business, we will now proceed with the second round of public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board, should come to the podium, state your name and address. Please remember to keep your comments 5 minutes on topics directed to the board. Anyone wishing to speak at this time? Oh, saw Mr. Stevens moving. I thought somebody was getting up. Seeing none, we're going to close the second round of public comment.
Mr. Chair, I move the Savannah County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A1, Section 2.2-3711A6, Section 2.2-3711A7, Section 2.2-3711A8 of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended for the purposes of discussing personnel, investment of funds, legal matters, and litigation. Litigation and legal matters, sorry.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. We're now in closed session.
Mr. Chair, I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Savannah County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be resolved, Board of Supervisors does hereby certify that to the best of each member's knowledge, one only public business matter properly exempted from the open meeting requirement 2.2-3711A of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended and two only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Booker.
Excuse me.
All in favor? Oh, excuse me. Ms. Eager? Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Do we have a motion to extend?
Okay.
I move that we extend until 11:30.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I move that we adjourn.
Hang on. Chair votes aye. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr.
Second.
Booker, Mr. Weaver, and seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Happy Thanksgiving.